about.
Now, I have to warn you, some of this footage that you're about to see is clearly inappropriate for young viewers. Please ask your children to leave the room. And I'm serious, you really don't want your kids watching this, and it's not going to be fun for you to see it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Entertainment for you. Coming up, so don't call it that yet.
Mom, I gave you AIDS. Mom, I gave you AIDS.
Yeah.
Mom, I gave you AIDS.
Just
Mom, I gave you AIDS. Mom, I gave you AIDS. Mom, I gave you AIDS.
And now,
do you still stand by your pledge made in 2008? To provide a pony for every American.
Yes, I do, sir.
Our feature presentation.
Pony for every American.
I want to vote for who is that? I want to vote for him.
That's good news.
That is the next president of the United States. I'm bursting at the seams to be able to share him with you today on today's
Sweet.
All new Kevin DeVito.
Excellent.
He's the best. Free ponies, guys. You can't beat free ponies.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people can get put back to work. That's probably better than a pony.
No.
But think how many jobs are created in making all those ponies and taking care of all those ponies.
Okay.
A lot of work involved there. Plus, he's got a plan for solving the nation's energy crisis with zombie power. He's got that.
All right. Now so, I'm in.
He's got a lot of really good ideas, but we're going to get to him in a minute. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show, kids. It is Monday. It's the 9th of January already. And I want to start just briefly with this story because this is, we talk from time to time about people who change their name to crazy things.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for it. I think you should change your name to a crazy thing if you want to. This guy was arrested on Thursday afternoon in Madison, Wisconsin on charges of carrying a concealed weapon, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana, and violation of probation. His name is Bazoo Doodoo Zubippity Bop Bop Bop.
All right. That's awesome.
His name was Jeffrey Drew Wilchke, but according to court records, he legally changed his name in October. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to Bazoo Doodoo Zubippity Bop Bop Bop.
That is so great. Every time you hear a customer service person on the phone say it, every time you hear it in school, the judge.
Yeah.
In this case, the judge has to say it.
It looks like his first name is Bazoo, his middle name is Doodoo, and his last name is Zibibidi Bop Bop Bop, which I imagine he just has to spell in the hyphens and everything every single time he does anything, right?
That's sweet.
Anyway, I went to his Facebook account to find out more about Mr. Zibibidi Bop Bop Bop, and when he is not in trouble with the law, apparently some of the activities he enjoys include eating.
Oh, wow.
Standing.
Uh-huh.
Walking. And thinking. He is single, ladies. That's good news for you.
How about that?
Some of his other interests include beets.
Beets.
Watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash. Murder.
Murder?
And the White House. So that's a bad combination potentially right
wow.
there.
Wow.
Television preferences include Mexican sitcoms. He loves zombie flicks.
Sure.
Favorite books include The Dictionary. And he's a big Grateful Dead fan. So there you go. If you're interested, ladies.
You could be looking Mrs. For Zippity Bop Bop.
Bop.
You could be Miss Zibibidi Bop Bop. Exactly, yeah. Let me see. He was apprehended by authorities after neighbors complained of excessive drinking and drug use around a local park. When they took Zibibidi Bop Bop into custody, they found him in possession of the drugs and the paraphernalia and the knife. On the way to prison, he told cops that he would eventually get even with them. So I don't
wow.
know what that means, but anyway.
You don't want to cross Mr. Zibibidi Bop Bop Bop.
No, you don't.
I know that for a fact.
So he is the citizen of the day right there. I hope there's some sort of a follow-up on how his life goes from this
Doesn't
point on.
Doesn't get any better than that.
I predict good things for him.
That Murder makes, is his hobby.
That makes Ron Artest just look like an idiot.
Yeah,
it does.
Meta true.
World peace.
Oh, world peace? That's nothing.
It? That's all you got? I got Mr. Zippity Bop Bop Bop. F you. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're missing the whole point. This show is a joke. You are a joke.
And?
Yeah, we know that.
Is there more to that? Harvey Levin from TMZ.com today,
mm-hmm.
talking about all the celebrities and all the trouble they got into over the weekend. We have guys with girly tattoos.
Mm.
Hmm.
There's a lot of those. A lot of those.
Beer mug.
Hey. Like roses.
roses or anything that now, you know, since you've gotten it, now people have been making fun of the, you know, your tramp stamp or whatever it is you have that's very girlish.
Yeah.
You know, there's
maybe
a lot
you really enjoyed the movie Sense and Sensibility. Maybe you didn't realize that that was something that guys would make fun of.
Yes, maybe that happened as well. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll give somebody $10 if that's true, if that actually happened. We have comedian Joe Rogan in the studio today.
Excellent. It's been a while.
Host of Fear Factor, of course, the announcer on UFC. Very excited. Love him. Bean's going to introduce us to the next president of the United States of America.
Yes, I am.
He emailed, I don't know, 1,000 times over the weekend about this presidential candidate.
So excited.
I was like, all right, dude, take it easy. I'll vote for him. You know I vote comedy.
When you find the guy who speaks to your issues, I think it's important to spread the word.
We have Fred Armisen on the program today, who is the star of one of the weirdest TV shows that exists. And I love it, called Portlandia.
I just saw that.
It is.
For the first time. It's hilarious.
There's just no way to describe it.
It is totally bizarre.
Which is fun. So anyway, we're going to talk to him coming up, and I guess we're going to need to talk to, you know, to the big man upstairs. We're going to need to talk to God about Tebow. What's going on with this? If you saw that, I saw the Denver Broncos over the weekend, but man.
Yeah.
It looks like God hates me and wants me to pay some money. And that's not what
none of us have teams in the hunt anymore, so we might as well all just start rooting for Denver so that Kevin has to pay out that $1,200 for the ticket he lost for the listener in Vegas.
I'm not sure I'm down with that plan.
You have to admit it would be awesome.
If you were on the other side, you'd be down with that plan.
I don't have to admit it would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Yeah, you know, looking back on it 10 years from now, yes, it would be awesome. But that's a lot of money.
But knowing how much more money I blew with the Scarlett Johansson date, you can't even feel that bad about only $1,200.
Yeah, but you did that on purpose.
I didn't do it on purpose. I had no intention of spending that money.
But you had the option of following through and getting something from it.
You're going to get something from it, too,
which
is
what?
The respect of your peers.
Oh, wow. Nobody wants that more than me, I think you know. All right, we will take a quick break and come back with the showbiz.
Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live. He's one of the best things on that show, by the way, again this season. He's incredible. And, of course, Portlandia. He'll be joining us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for the first showbiz beat of a new week.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
We're having those guys on this week. Brandy and Jared.
Hope they talk
and
a lot about storage spaces.
Hope Kevin tells them how stupid he thinks their show is.
I hate you and you're stupid. Get off my show. Kevin says every guest we have.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I don't know what most of the shows are that we talk about.
Congratulations to Beyonce and Jay-Z. They're no longer just superstars. They're now parents. And as we know, parents are the biggest superstars of all.
Wow. That hurt.
Thank you. My new Hallmark card. Hope you all pick it up. E! Online and several other sources say that they welcomed their daughter into the world last Saturday night. Her name? Blue Ivy Carver.
Blue Ivy Carver.
Yes. You know, and I just painted my garage Blue Ivy Carver, and it is a lovely shade. I think they had a good choice over there at Lowe's when they picked out the baby name.
Is it Blue Ivy? I thought it was Ivy Blue.
This story says Blue Ivy. You probably know better than me, Bean, because you live on the internet, and I'm just reading what I printed out this morning. So maybe it's Ivy Blue. I don't know.
Either way.
Lucky little baby.
Good work.
Ivy Blue is better than Blue Ivy, I'll tell you that much. Blue Ivy should be a Slurpee flavor.
Yeah, totally. That kid did hit the lottery, though, man. I mean, that kid doesn't even know yet how rich and how good-looking she must be.
She came into the world in a very appropriate way for the rich. She was at the Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, and Jay-Z and Beyonce rented out the entire floor that Beyonce was on at the hospital for a cool $1.3 million. That's quite a tab.
I didn't know that was even possible.
Anything is possible, my friend, if you have a big enough checkbook.
So that hospital may have been turning away patients because...
Well, people were sharing rooms, I can guarantee you that.
Wow.
Yeah. Checked in under the name Ingrid Jackson.
Woo!
Ingrid Jackson. Are you Swedish, man? Hayden Panettiere's parents are calling it quits. Aw, that's sad. TMZ.com reporting that Leslie Panettiere has filed for divorce from Alan Panettiere on the grounds of irreconcilable differences. Apparently, Leslie found out that Alan was keeping from her the fact that he used to hunt down people with superhuman powers.
That's
and he would wear those horn-rimmed glasses at home, and like he was a regular guy. And then he found out that not only was he keeping a secret about what he did, but the fact that his daughter had super healing powers and could not be killed.
Right. Those were her TV parents on Heroes. Those that had nothing to do with her real life.
Okay. Whatever you guys want to believe. You want to believe the government's line or the truth?
Okay.
I may be confused.
Yes.
And one of the greatest parents of all time. A lot of parent news today. Kate Gosselin back in the news.
She does good work.
You know, she's been out of work for a while. She lost her TV reality show. Mm-hmm. How's a mom going to make a living?
And how many does she have? She has eight?
Kate plus eight.
Yes.
Yes. She has decided to open up her life so that her fans can get a little closer to her. It's time for you to buy your tickets for Set Sail with Kate.
Whore.
The Kate Gosselin Cruise. Royal Caribbean.
Really?
Is selling the cruise from August 12th through the 19th. You will travel the high seas with Kate Gosselin.
She's a whore, okay?
According to the website, guests will have the opportunity to meet Kate at a cocktail party, attend a Q&A session, enjoy a photo, and even learn a new craft. From the professional herself.
Learn a new craft.
I'm sorry. Does she make lanyards? I don't understand what she does.
You can learn needle pointing?
What craft are we talking about?
That's weird.
Tickets start at a measly $1,900 per person.
Ouch.
And you'll be visiting beautiful ports of call like Jamaica, Cozumel, and of course, Haiti.
Beautiful, beautiful vacation Haiti.
Beautiful Haiti. That's what I want to do. Spend some time with Kate Gosselin in Haiti.
For a new reality show. For the AIDS.
Katie plus a Haiti.
There is no good in that.
No, there really
And by
is.
The way, if she wants to book that cruise, she needs to say whether her kids are going to be on it or
that
not.
That was my question.
If her kids aren't on it, it'll book right up.
No. You got to meet the kids.
Nope.
Hang out at the playground with the eight. And bad news for the unit. You know who the unit is,
the
right?
The unit.
The unit. That's the Situations pal from Jersey Shore.
Oh.
He was the one who apparently was witnessing what was going on with Snooki and the Sitch.
Sure.
Back when that happened, and that was the big plot point of last year, was that he was going to tell her new boyfriend Gianni what was going on. The Sitch and Snooki cheated behind his back.
Right.
Well, the unit, turns out, may be heading for the federal pen.
Uh-oh.
Turns out the unit was arrested last July for possessing ketamine, which many of you may know as a horse tranquilizer, but is also known as Special K, which will, you know, get people high and cause them to hallucinate and freak out.
You have to tell Kevin.
Like yeah. Police official in Seaside Heights, New Jersey, says the unit was indicted on third-degree felony possession charges in December and could face anywhere from 3 to 5 years in a federal penitentiary.
Wow.
He's headed back to court tomorrow. See what his fate will be, but big news for the unit. And that nickname, by the way, will really go over in the cell block. If you're the unit and they find out in the exercise yard that your name is the unit, you may be enjoying some special attention.
Sure.
People might want to meet you.
From the other cellmates. It is the start of the Hollywood Press Tour this week.
Okay.
The TCAs, as they're called, the Television Critics Association, I guess, gets to meet all the heads of the networks to find out what's coming up this year. For television, and first up was Fox.
This is where we find out what new shows are going to be on and everything?
All that kind of stuff. Yep. The fate of some of your favorite shows, what's going to happen on the upcoming year of television for most of the networks, and Fox kicked it off this year with some interesting tidbits about some of the Fox shows. For example, Kevin Riley, president of Fox, announced there has been no decision made yet about a second season for Terra Nova or not. So if you're a fan of that show, you may or may not be getting it back. We're going to decide very soon, he said, because it does need to get back into production over the next month. So if there's no point in getting things geared up again if they're not going to have a second season. Whether this will be the last season for House or not, they said, we're talking, obviously, as we go. We haven't had the big meeting about what we want to do. So no conclusion there.
Did they know this was coming up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. The Glee spinoff. With Lea Michele and Chris Colbert, they're supposed to be graduating from high school in Glee and heading to Broadway.
Okay.
That was the plan. He said that is not going to happen. They have officially decided not to do a second Glee show.
Okay.
Lea Michele's character is graduating, whoever, he said, but she's not leaving the show. Well, that'd be creepy, just her hanging around the hallways after she's graduated. She's one of those students who just
dating high school boys.
Just won't move on. And regarding Ryan Seacrest's $15 million a year contract with American Idol, that's up this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He said, as we know, it's a much harder job than meets the eye.
Please.
We don't know that.
We know the opposite is what we know. It's very hard to imagine Idol without Ryan. We certainly want to keep him, but no contract has yet been settled. So we have to wait and see what happens.
Any word on Fringe, Ralph?
He did not mention Fringe, or at least this article does not mention Fringe.
That's bad news.
Well, I know they're coming back this year, so
we'll
have to wait and see. And while we're talking about Fox, the landmark 500th episode of The Simpsons.
500.
Is coming up soon. So Sunday, February 19th will be the 500th episode.
I guess that's all right, if you like that kind of thing.
To mark the episode, Fox is hoping that someone will break the Guinness World Book of Record for continuous TV watching, which is just over 86 hours, it says here in this story.
We've got a guy.
Hear
that scream in the background? That's Dave, the King of Mexico.
86 hours? No one can watch TV for 86 hours, Ralph.
They would like someone to stay up and watch the entire series of The Simpsons to date, which is about 183 hours.
What?
Jeez.
Wait a minute. The record's 86, and they want 183?
That's what they'd like you to do.
They want you to die?
You can go to thesimpsons.com. Or the show's Facebook page. If you'd like to get more details, if you'd like to be the person who breaks the Guinness World Record for continuous TV watching, and also does it in conjunction with Fox celebrating their 499 episodes of The Simpsons.
Wow. Those of you that don't listen very often, we did have the King of Mexico break that record twice. He broke it. He literally broke it twice.
He really did.
For reals.
Yes.
And we had some kind of accounting problem or whatever, and he never got credit for it.
We screwed up in the record keeping or whatever, and they said, nope. Nope.
He did it twice.
Doesn't count.
Not my fault.
But I did. I watched all the televisions.
He did it. He did it right. Nope. He did it by the rules.
He did like 99 hours, like 100 hours. Yep. He crushed the record.
Crushed
86.
And nothing.
No credit. Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin is 68 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons, one of my favorites. He's on Law & Order. He was on Oz. He played J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies.
He's the dad in Juno.
Wrote Harry Potter.
Dad in Juno. Just a terrific actor who can do comedy and drama and just do it all. Now he's the head of the Farmers Insurance University. He's on those commercials.
And he's on The Closer, too.
Yeah. Great guy. 57 years old
today. Maybe he could share some of the work.
He works a lot. That's for sure. But he deserves it. Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth is 45 years old today.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band is 45. Joey Lauren Adams. Remember her from Chase and Amy?
Sure.
44 years old today. Pro BMX rider Matt Hoffman is 40 years old. AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is 34. Duchess Catherine of Cambridge, formerly Kate Middleton. She is 30 years old today. Nina Dobrev of the Vampire Diaries is 23.
Yeah.
And Hathaway's birthday is today. Hathaway!
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 What is love?
That about 1990 what?
My head maybe? Just go to
something
one
like
side.
It does. You and Lisa were bobbing heads at the same time.
Hathaway's 47 years old today. So get out there and is the Roxbury still open? Can you spend one night in the Roxbury still?
I do not believe so.
I don't think you can. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 12 after 6.
Oh, Friday nights are good again, ladies and gentlemen. Portlandia has returned on IFC. I couldn't be more excited. I love that show so much, and I'm very excited to welcome Fred Armisen, one of the stars and creators of Portlandia, back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Fred? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. How's everything going?
Very good. Well,
thank you.
Everything's going great, and I got to tell you, this is Portlandia. We have so many questions for you because we are such big fans. It really seems like, I mean, it came in so under the radar as something just kind of a quiet little half hour on IFC, and then it's just been building and building and building, and now it's like being treated like a major TV show. Everybody is talking about it as season two premieres. That must be kind of crazy for you.
It's shocking, you know, and it's almost not a reality to me. Because we still think of it as this really teeny show, you know, and, you know, we don't shoot in front of an audience or anything. It's just like this little crew, and it always still feels, the whole thing is very surreal.
Would you like fewer people to watch and or talk about it?
I mean, it's really nice. I mean, the thing is, everyone, people, the things people say to me in the street and stuff is always super, super nice. So right. It's great. I'm psyched about it.
But it's so funny because I think about, and of course, you know, you've got years and years of background with sketch, with SNL and everything. But I mean, in a way, it's almost like you and your friends getting together to entertain each other. It seems like that kind of show. And then when the ratings come out and you go, my God, there's 5 million people watching this show. Do you start to navel gaze a little bit and go, all right, are we still doing the kind of show we want to do if it's that popular or if that many people are watching?
Yeah, that's not a problem at all because we don't even think about that. You know, we when we're shooting, or especially when we're writing, actually, we just have to make sure that there's some kind of a concept there and some kind of point of view. So all that kind of stuff is like that's later. You know, that happens later, and it kind of washes over us anyway. It's like, okay, well that's great, but you know, we try not to focus on that.
For people who haven't seen the show, explain it to them.
I would say, well, it's a show with Carrie Brownstein and myself. She's a former Sleater Kinney guitar player, and present day Wild Flag singer,
mm-hmm.
and myself, and we do these sketches, these little pieces, these odd video pieces that take place in Portland, Oregon, but it's kind of fictional. Like it's Portlandia, which is like a version of Portland, like a heightened version, and it's us doing different characters in. That take place in that part of town in every city. That's the kind of maybe the artsy kind of quaint little area in every city. So, for example, it would be like in LA, it would be like Echo Park or something. Or
right,
something.
Right, exactly. So, now, I although it was a surprise to see Carrie do this kind of work because I primarily knew her as a musician. I get that part of the country, her being famous for Olympia and everything like that. But did you have any kind of Portland tie at all, or is what you're saying that there's a little bit of Portlandia in every city? So even if you're in New York, you can still identify with this sensibility.
Well, with Carrie, she was my link to Portland. Like she was the reason I went there, and then I got to know the city. But every place I've ever lived, like, in Chicago and even here in New York, there's that part of, I always gravitated towards that part of town. You know, you just end up there. You're like, okay, I need a cup of coffee or a record or whatever. I just ended up there. So it just made sense. It made perfect sense to me.
Right. And it's funny because sometimes you're walking such a fine line because I feel like many of the characters that you guys are portraying on the show are hipsters, yet they also hate hipsters at the same time.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because some of them are just sort of normal people, but when you get to know them, they're very not normal. So the thing is, it's really how we are. You know, that's how I am in a way. It's like I'm kind of like that, but then I could get easily annoyed by stuff. So it's a mix of, I think everyone's kind of like that. Like the more people I meet, the more people I feel like are like really into records, grew up on the same music. And so it's hard to define, what they are. Are they really like, for lack of a better word, hipster? You know, a lot of them are dads now. So it's kind of like, it's a little confusing in a way,
Yeah. This is the voice of Fred Armisen here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his show Portlandia, which is back on IFC. New episodes air on Friday nights. And one thing about a show that hits the people in a certain way is everybody wants to be on it. And it's unbelievable the guest stars you had last year, and it looks like even more this year. Tell us about some of the people upcoming on the series that you're excited about us seeing.
Well, let's see. There's Ed Begley Jr., Jeff Goldblum, Tim Robbins is in it, Amber Tamblyn. Johnny Marr, the guitar player from The Smiths.
How does that happen? Does your phone just ring and out of the blue it's Tim Robbins calling saying, hey, if you ever need me on Portlandia, I'm there for you?
It's kind of a combo of a couple things. Like, it's Carrie knows him, so it was kind of like, well let's just... It's funny, a lot of it happens through texting. Like, hey, can you come up to Portland for a day? and Eddie Vedder happened that way, too. Like, hey, what are you doing Thursday? So then, once we figure out when they can do it, we just switch the schedule around for them. Like, oh my God, okay, well, let's cancel that thing, and then they'll fly in the morning. I think we could do this. Because, Portland, in a way, especially for people in New York, is not that easy to get to.
Yes,
not
correct.
Not that many flights, and it's a little out of the way. So we have to kind of juggle things around.
I got
to
tell you, it's a TV show like no other, and it's very, very few that come along where you can say that's the case.
Yeah.
It doesn't remind you really of anything else.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
And by the way, Fred, I know you got to go, but I'm loving this. This has been a tremendous season of SNL, too, and you have been, what can I say? I mean, you know, the ratings have been great, but you have been phenomenal this season.
Oh, dude,
I mean,
thank you. Well, show busy as it's going to sound, those writers and the other cast members, that's what makes it all happen. You know? Yeah.
Nope. Show busy. Sorry.
Well, you are a busy guy.
I embrace it.
You're a busy guy juggling both shows and making them both as good as they are. But I'm so happy we had a chance to talk to you and tell you that we're big fans. Keep doing what you're doing on Portlandia. IFC Friday nights. Thanks, Fred.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Our friend Joe Rogan joins us coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Andrew Siciliano will be in later talking about football. And what a weekend it was. Only four games, but still so exciting. So much great football on this weekend. The playoffs are awesome, aren't they?
They really are, yes.
Unless you happen to be holding a ticket, or not holding a ticket, I should say, for a listener, and potentially might have to pay $1,200 if the Denver Broncos win the Super Bowl.
Denver Broncos beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime.
Here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on the New England. They won it on the first play of overtime.
Yeah, that happened.
And by the way, this is a team that backed into the playoffs. They only got into the playoffs because other teams had to lose. They sucked at the end of the season. And everybody's like, Tim Tebow does it again. Although he had actually, for him, I think it was the best game he's ever quarterbacked, wasn't it? No, and he actually had a pretty decent game yesterday. Yeah. But people will not stop talking. As long as the Broncos continue to roll through the playoffs, people will not stop talking about the fact that he's got Jesus on his side. And I thought this might be an outstanding time to check in, perhaps. Find out if this is true. Find out if God is still up there working with Tim Tebow from the Denver Quarterbacks. Hello, Kevin Bean Show here.
It's little Timmy Tebow time. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
How are you, God? What's going on, dude?
I'm well, fellows. How are you guys?
Well, we're good.
Good.
I'm a little scared, but good.
Yeah, how about that ticket you're holding? Huh?
I don't have the ticket, though, yeah. So I'd have to pay the $1,200. Now, come on now. That's not that funny.
That's pretty funny.
For those of you that don't know, before the season, I put a bet on Arizona to go to the Super Bowl and win it, which is a long shot, of course. And then yeah. A listener said, would you put it on Denver as well? So did. Lost both tickets. Now, if Denver wins the Super Bowl, I have to cover the $1,200.
Yeah. A lot of people think that's why I let them win yesterday.
Is it?
No.
Okay. It's not. Okay.
No.
What? Why did you?
Well, there's a couple reasons.
Okay.
First, I forgot to get my son a birthday present this year.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm busy. I there's no excuse for it. He's my son. I should take care of him. I should know when his birthday is.
Right.
Yeah, but how do you forget Jesus' birthday? I mean, Christmas is pretty much everywhere. It's hard to miss.
I understand. Look, I don't feel any worse, okay? I can't feel any worse than I do. I don't need you to rub it in.
Okay. Sorry.
But I forgot. And so I wanted to make it up to him. And, you know, Tebow is always, giving praise to my kid and stuff. And so I figured it would be a nice gesture on my part if I let the team win.
Okay.
Also, that's one.
One. Okay.
Two, I hate Pittsburgh.
Why do you hate the Steelers?
Oh, boy. Does that city suck?
Well, it does.
I gave you a perfect world. I gave you this beautiful, lush, green planet.
Uh-huh.
And have you seen what Pittsburgh has done to it?
Well, it's just...
Have you ever been to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's a horrible city.
Oh, man. If they give Pennsylvania an enema, Pittsburgh's where they put the tube. the air you can cut with a knife is just... Everything's covered in just filth. Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger. Oh, Roethlisberger.
Well, rapey,
Well, what a rapey pig of a man he is, I'll tell you. How fat is he now? What does he weigh, like 400 pounds?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Just because his last name ends in burger doesn't mean that's all he can eat, all right? Ben, try a salad. I made vegetables for you to eat. Try one. One.
Just one.
Would it kill you?
So,
and their coach, that guy should spend more time on house and less time coaching the Steelers.
Not the same guy.
I think the show has suffered because he spent so much time on football.
Yeah,
enough time taking care of house, especially with, you know, that ankle bracelet he's wearing now. And now Cuddy's gone and he's taking over.
They look a lot alike, but they're different guys. The coach is not the same as the actor on House. But listen, so everything was just falling in the direction of you had to let Denver win. You owed it to your son. You hate Pittsburgh. Yeah. I mean, it was a no-brainer for you. But what happens now? Because now, God's team. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots next week. What are you going to do with Denver?
Whoa. Who said that's God's team?
Well,
a lot of people do. A lot of people think that they're charmed, too, that they can do no wrong.
They're a good team, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, they play well, but it's not my team.
I have a lot of money riding on this. How do you feel about them specifically? I mean,
I'm a Saints fan.
You're a Saints fan.
Oh, that
makes sense.
For obvious reasons.
That makes sense. Saints, of course. Sure. Yeah.
But next week, Denver, a little inside information, guys.
Oh, please. Inside information. Okay.
I told Pat Robertson this last week.
Is that right?
He's the only other guy I shared it with.
All right.
But, take the Patriots and give the points.
Take the Patriots, give the points.
Okay. Yeah. Now, are we allowed to share that with God, or is like with Pat Robertson, we have to keep it under our hands?
No, that's just for you guys.
That's just us. Okay. Yeah. Take the Patriots.
Luckily, I know no one's listening to your show, so that information won't get out.
Okay, that's good.
Well, I'm glad I got a lot of money on them, guys, so trust me, it's going to work out.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I got big money on the Patriots this weekend coming up.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Right there on the money, by the way, in God we trust. So just listen to me, and we'll all make a little something-something. You know what I'm saying? God's going to make it rain. God's going to make it rain next weekend.
All right.
Minutes away from Joe Rogan here on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday show. It's 2012 now, Kevin. I know you've hated the idea of a presidential election year being here once again, but you can't avoid it now. The candidates are everywhere. That's all people are talking about because it's an important decision that America's getting ready to make.
Yeah, I hate politics, though, completely, except for it's sort of like American Idol, where I like the really, really preliminary ones where the crazies come out and then they think they're good.
Right.
But then when they eliminate it down to the real people, then I'm out.
Okay, so in other words, you've got no time for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney or Ron Paul, but if there's a crazy guy who dresses like a wizard, that's the guy you're going to vote for.
Now I'm in.
Well, I've got the crazy guy who dresses like a wizard, and I could not be more excited. Here's the thing. You've only been hearing about the Republican candidates for the last few months because Barack Obama will be the nominee for the Democratic side. But what you forget is that there are other Democrats who go, hey, just because he's the incumbent, Barack Obama is the president, doesn't mean he automatically should be the guy that we go to. Maybe I've got some good ideas, too. And that's where my new friend Vermin Supreme comes in. Now, Vermin.
Vermin Supreme?
Vermin Supreme, yes. You can go to KevinBean.com or KRock.com right now, and you can see him. He is dressed as a wizard with a giant wizard hat. And a coat, and he is sitting there, and all you need to know about Mr. Supreme and his campaign can be summed up in the first 8 seconds of this interview in New Hampshire.
Do you still stand by your pledge made in 2008 to provide a pony for every American?
Yes, I do, sir.
All right, right there, I thought, you've got my vote, Mr. Supreme. Now, he apparently ran in 2008 as well, and he was running on the Free Pony for All Americans pledge back then, and he is keeping it alive in 2012, and here he goes on to explain a little bit more about how the program will work.
Free Ponies for All Americans, one of the overlooked issues in America today. My Free Pony platform is, of course, a jobs creation program. It will create lots and lots of jobs once we switch over to a pony-based economy. We'll also lower our dependence on foreign oil. We'll also be able to turn all that pony poop into methane gas and wonderful compost, so we'll be able to up our soil that is being depleted by agrochemicals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the important thing to realize is that it is a federal pony identification program where you will need your pony with you at all times. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
We need more methane gas.
I love him. So we're going to replace money with ponies?
Yes, we will be living in a pony-based economy, Kevin. I'm concerned about a law, though, that requires you to have your pony with you at all times, because wouldn't that be inconvenient at work or in an elevator or on a road trip? I mean, there's lots of occasions.
That would be awesome.
Really? I just can't see you always taking your pony everywhere. All right. Speaking of energy, the pony poop is part of it, but I think Mr. Supreme has some other ideas up his sleeve as well.
Mr. Supreme, I wanted to follow up on Ambassador Shoemaker's question.
Yes.
Regarding the ponies.
Yes.
Is that the only government entitlement program that you support? What other entitlement programs are you for?
Just that one. But in the vein of energy production, I'd also like to address my harnessing the awesome power of zombies for energy sources. It's not just to run away from anymore. No, we have giant turbines that we're working on, and we will have lots of zombies, and we'll just sort of dangle brains in front of them, and then they will turn the giant turbines, creating energy to lessen the dependence on foreign oil in America here today.
All right.
Thank you.
Bean.
Yes.
You have to interpret this guy.
Okay.
He's just goofing? Is this guy really crazy and really thinks they're zombies and really thinks all this stuff?
There are two kinds of crazy candidates that show up for elections. There's the people who are mentally ill who really believe it, like our friend Speaker Gerald Pauly, who you remember is still running for president.
How dare you suggest that? He is a viable candidate.
He's crazy. And Linda, I know you listen online, so sorry. And then there's people like our friend Vermin Supreme, who I think are just having a laugh. I think he's a satirical candidate. Now, I have plenty more tape, but we only have time for one more clip. And this is, again, they're in New Hampshire, and he's dressed as a wizard. You can see the video at KevinandBean.com. He's dressed as a wizard at a table. In a room with a bunch of journalists, and he's got six or eight other guys who are running for office who are sitting there in suits that are serious, that really are trying to improve the dialogue. Now, they're going to go to him for his closing statement here, and Mr. Supreme is going to sing a song that is going to try to encourage people to vote for him.
Sweet.
And then it's a little bit hard to hear, but at the end, he's going to stand up and he's going to sprinkle fairy dust from his wizard costume to try to turn one of the other members that's on the dais gay. He's going to try to turn another candidate gay with fairy dust, okay? These are the two things that are about to happen in the final clip here.
Mr. Supreme, your 30-second closing statement, please.
My name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, Vermin Supreme. My name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, Vermin, Vermin Supreme. And you can vote, and you can vote, and you can vote for me for president if you want to. And my name is Vermin, and okay, thanks very much for coming out today. Oh, one more thing. Jesus told me to make Randall Terry gay.
Okay, so he stands up. Now he's sprinkling powder all over Randall Terry. You can hear the moderator trying to get him to stop.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Mr. Vermin Supreme. Vote early and vote often. Here's what Joe Rogan was tweeting at 3 a.m. I'll be on K-Rock in 4 hours, but I'm not sleepy at all, so I think I'll go on an adventure in the isolation tank. See you on the other side.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know what kind of shape Joe's going to be in, but he joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin
Some
Beach.
Sort of Cro-Magnon ape creature is going to show up, like in Altered States. I've seen the movie. William Hurt's like eating animals in the zoo. That's what Joe Rogan's doing right now. He's going to show up all bloody with antelope blood all over him.
Well, he just might.
I hope so.
Ralph Garman is here now. It's time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Devil Inside. The Devil Inside. Every single one of us.
The Devil Inside was number one at the box office this weekend.
$34.5 million.
Is that a surprise?
It is a surprise.
I loved it.
They thought it was going to do well, but they didn't know it was going to be number one. And by so much, a lot of people were scared into going.
Oh, so good.
Was it so good, Ken?
Yes, it was.
The Rotten Tomatoes, who I know you hate, I think they had it at 7% last time I checked. But
I don't hate them, but I just don't go with... that.
Cinema Score, which is audiences, gave it an F.
Hmm. Yeah, loved it.
So who went to see this movie if everybody hated it?
How about TotalBS.com? What did they say? What was their number?
I don't really go by those because that just tells me what they like. I love it.
A lot of people went. A lot of people liked it. Yeah, $34.5 million made it number one. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, $20.5 million made it number two. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, came in at number three with an additional $14 million to their coffers. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo was fourth, and Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked, number five. War Horse, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, number six at the box office. We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and New Year's Eve rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. George Clooney has announced his next project. He will star in a film called The Monuments Men. Real-life story about a team of U.S. and British art experts and museum workers who helped the military track down stolen artwork from World War II that the Nazis took.
Oh.
So it's like Nazi hunters, but just with paintings and sculpture and stuff. Sounds riveting, and I'm looking forward to it.
What's that that white collar?
White Collar. I love White Collar.
Didn't they have an episode where they had
they had a whole boat full of ill-gotten
a
Nazi booty.
Of Nazi, artwork.
And they blowed it up. Or did they?
Is a good question.
No, they didn't. And it was hidden. And then something happened. I forget. It's been a while since I've seen that show. Tom Hanks has a new project. He is producing an animated series online called Electric City. It'll be 4 minutes long in each episode, and apparently they're trying to make it a franchise like Will Ferrell's Funny or Die, Electric City will become an online presence through Tom Hanks and his production company. They're debuting it at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, which I think starts today, right? Or tomorrow?
It's usually this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's this week sometime, so got that going on. And Kiefer Sutherland was at the Hollywood press tour Sunday when Fox was talking about all their projects. Did a little research, and turns out that Fringe was talked about this past weekend by the president of Fox.
Yes.
And it's not great news. Mentioned how they're losing money on Fringe, he said.
Yeah.
To which I say, well, who moved it to Friday, ass? That would be you, sir. Maybe the ratings are bad because no one watches television on Friday, you douchebag.
Friday is the kiss of death.
But they're going to decide and let them, hopefully, if they're going to cancel the series, tidy it up and write a finale. But the timing may not work out between the producers and the network, so we'll have to wait and see. But Keith Sutherland dropped the bombshell that he is going to start shooting the 24 movie.
Awesome.
In March or early April. They're going into production this year, so we will see more of Kiefer and then boop, 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 boop. See more of that.
Have we found out yet whether it'll be 24 hours long or not, Ralph? Because that seems like an investment on the movie.
They did not talk about that. I am suggesting it will not be 24 hours long. I'm guessing. It'll be 23 with an intermission. That's my guess. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin fame is 68 years old today. J.K. Simmons from Law & Order. By the way, I got a lot of emails this weekend. Apparently David Bowie had a birthday this weekend.
Oh,
turned
is that
65.
Right?
Yeah, so maybe we can check in with Dave and see how he celebrated in the next hour. J.K. Simmons from Law & Order and Oz and many other projects. 57 years old today. Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth is 45. Dave Matthews celebrates his 45th birthday. Joey Lauren Adams is 44. A.J. McClain of the Backstreet Boys turns... Giving A.J. a bell?
No, that was just a delayed reaction to Joey Lauren Adams.
Oh, I see. Bellis Delayus. A.J. McClain of the Backstreet Boys is 34. The Duchess of Cambridge, formerly known as Kate Middleton, she is 30 years old today. And actress Nina Dobrev from The Vampire Diaries, 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
You people are so lucky you were listening to Smashing Pumpkins and not the conversation that we were having in the room during that song.
I want to say Joe Rogan knows too much about having sex with horses. That's what I want to say for the record, ladies and gentlemen.
Not from personal experience.
No, of course not. Certainly not. Just from a guy who reads the paper a lot. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock on a Monday, the very final appearance of our friend Joe Rogan on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sorry to say, we miss Joe. We've loved Joe. We've enjoyed Joe's work.
What happened? What's going on?
Are you not getting on a plane and going to Brazil in a couple of days, Joe?
What's going
happening?
On in Brazil?
Well, people rarely come back. I mean, we all know what's happening down there. It's
what
a very dangerous,
you?
A dangerous
Seattle
place.
Snob.
You. American tourists go down there.
Go
they
buy
never come
heroin
back.
In the ghetto.
Right.
American tourists are stupid. They're weeding them out. A lot of them.
Are you traveling with UFC fighters, so you're fine? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm going to hide under some really big dude's armpits.
All right, well, you're probably fine. When do you leave, dude?
I leave on Thursday.
Are you so psyched?
Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, I've been to Brazil before. I've been to Sao Paulo for the World Jiu-Jitsu Championships in 2003. Went down there and watched that.
But what is fighting like down there? I mean, is it like...
crazy, man.
Is it just all...
It's the motherland of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. It's a wild place. You know, it's a fighting culture. I mean, we have three out of the five champions are from Brazil. That's pretty crazy. You know, we have not just the champions, but Jose Aldo, pound for pound best, and Anderson Silva, pound for pound best.
Yeah.
And, of course, Junior Dos Santos, the heavyweight champion. So there's a lot of killers in Brazil. And there's a bunch of guys coming up, too. There's all these young savages that are just training in the gyms down there. I mean,
they see that it's a way out to fame and fortune, right?
Yeah,
that's
a part of the culture. I mean, Vale Tudo fighting was created down there. I mean, they really wanted to find out. For the longest time, martial arts always like guessed. Everybody, the judo guys thought they were the best, karate guys thought they were the best. Nobody really knew until they got together and figured it out. And they really never did that until 1993. And they did it in Brazil, but the level of competition, you know, before that, like if you look, Elio Gracie fought some guys and Hicks and Gracie fought some guys, but the level of fighters, like Hicks and the biggest guy he fought was this guy Zulu, who really does not compare to the guys that are fighting today or even were fighting in the Ultimate Fighting Championship when it was first created. You know, there's a level that's been achieved achieved in a very short period of time, and it's really a lot because of the Brazilians, because of the Gracies, really.
When they did that, when they were doing that fighting, they didn't train in multiple arts they do now. It was just one against
jiu-jitsu.
Another.
Well, if you, you know, their thoughts were that if you don't know jiu-jitsu, you're doomed, and that if they, all they have to do is get a hold of you, and you're doomed. And they were right. I mean, you know, Royce Gracie, who wasn't even the best in the family, was tapping out everybody in the Ultimate Fighting Championship in the early days. It's really amazing. Like, there's never been a sport like that in our lifetime that we've seen evolve so rapidly. And the fact that martial arts have been around for 1,000 years, but more evolution in martial arts has taken place over the last decade and a half than has over the last 1,000 years.
Is that because of UFC?
Because of the UFC, 100%. Well, I'm a lifetime martial artist. I've done it since I was a little boy. So I've watched the whole thing change. As soon as everybody threw everybody together and said, let's see. You know, and then there won't be like martial arts in the future. It will all be one style. It will all be mixed martial arts.
It'll all be everything.
Yeah. I mean, you'll still have people that want to practice judo and they want to practice karate. But for the most part, that's going to be very rare. I think what's really going to be going on is mixed martial arts. It's going to be a style. It's one, you know, and there'll be preferences. Like some people prefer to stand up, other people prefer to grapple.
Whatever
but
you're
you
better
know
at.
Ever. Yeah.
Right.
That's why the young guys, like the best guys that are coming up right now, the really scary guys know everything. Like, there's a kid named Rory McDonald out of Canada. He's only like 21, 22 years old, and he's amazing. He's so good, and he's good at everything. He's got no holes in his game, and that's because he's been doing just mixed martial arts since he was a kid, you know?
This is Joe Rogan on the Kevin DeBean Show. I had brought up Joe was going to Rio because of UFC 142 this weekend, and I remember we
it's
had
not cool, man. Play that music.
Sorry, dude. Sorry. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I withdraw.
Joe's easily spooked. You got to remember
that. You're right. You're
going
to feel really bad.
We had Dana White on, not last time, but the time before, when we mentioned the Brazil thing, and he said, you know what? We didn't know how popular. We knew it was popular, but they sold out a huge venue down there for the fight. He said they could have sold four times as many tickets as they sold for that thing, and he said, we left some money on the table down there in Brazil because it's so popular. We had no idea it was going to be that big. You know?
Yeah, we're going to do a soccer stadium eventually. We're going to do one of those giant places. Yeah,
you could probably do it this time, couldn't you? I mean, I
don't think there's enough time and planning. You know, the biggest thing we've ever done was in North America. We did in Toronto. We did, I think it was 60,000 people, and it takes a lot of time for them to coordinate something like that. It's not a simple, like an 18,000 seat venue is standard. They have that down to a science. But when you get into a bigger venue, and you know, you go soccer stadium, man. That's just the logistics and the planning.
And now you need the bigger screens and everything
else. Yeah, we had giant, like in the UFC in Toronto, giant like 90-foot tall screens. They were ridiculous.
Will you have a moment to just be a tourist this time, or is you going to be work the whole time you're there?
I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to play it by ear. I'm not, obviously, I don't have a gig there. I usually do a gig in almost every town.
How's your Portuguese?
I go to. It's not so good, my friend. I can pretend to have bad English, but that's about it. I can sound like a Portuguese guy trying to speak English, like a mother. But
that may be not what they're looking for.
No, they probably beat me up for making fun of it.
You making fun of us?
Yeah. You think we talk like that, my friend? Brazilian people are very friendly, though, and I'm excited to go to a churrascaria. You know what those are?
Like, no, what is
Fogo de Chão? You ever see that? They have a place on La Cienega. It's a Brazilian steakhouse where they serve you all you can eat food. They give you a card, and one side is green, the other side is red, and red is when you're like done, stop,
right?
Stop it. And while it's green, they just keep coming with meat on skewers. It's just the whole culture is like so wild. You know, if you think about
you
Brazil,
actually have to show them a red card to go tapping out.
That's their style of food is like an all-you-can-eat slaughter buffet. You know? It's amazing. It's
how much meat can you eat, Joe?
Over fire. It depends. If I'm lifting, I can put it down, dude. If I'll do like a heavy set of squats and then go eat, oh, I can put it down. I can scare you.
Break half a cow.
I can eat some food, son. But it's all whether or not you have room for it, you know? But they know how to eat, man.
UFC 142 is Saturday night on pay-per-view. Joe Rogan is here. We have so much, as always, to talk to him about, including Fear Fighter, which is back on the schedule.
Fear Factor.
Fear Fighter. That's a
different show. I like it.
Yeah, it's a porn.
That is tonight at 8 on NBC. And also, Joe has a story about a tiger who ripped a man's scalp off. We want to talk about that, when we return
it's
on the Kevin
DeBean
Show.
God bless the Black Keys. God bless those people.
Yeah, we were just talking about during that song that the new Black Keys album is every bit as good. All their records are worth picking
up. Amazing. The new one's amazing. Yeah. So good.
Joe is here. As always, we have many things to talk about, including we spoke with you right when Fear Factor was coming back on NBC after 5 years away, Joe, and it has been it's been doing well for you.
Crazy.
On
ridiculous.
NBC. Yeah. So tonight, this show's not for everyone, right?
No, of course not.
Don't they eat a box lunch consisting of cockroaches, grasshoppers, rat hair, and maggots tonight? Doesn't that happen on tonight's show, Joe? Come on. What are you doing?
Blood in it, too.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm getting paid. I'm just showing up for work, dude. I just tell them what they tell me to say.
The good thing, though, now versus before is that it's in high def.
Yeah, well, now, it's definitely
you can see
grosser.
It clearly. And,
yeah. It's.
But Joe, you're a good guy, and you
this is all
care
voluntary.
About people.
That's,
no, you're a good guy, and you care about people. Isn't there some part of you that wants to go over to those poor guys and poor gals and go, "Look, honey, you don't have to do this. Put your arm around him and go, seriously, walk out to the parking lot.
No,
leave.
Man,
just get your car and go. You don't
forever.
Have to do this.
Come on. We're going to live forever. A lot of these people have credit card debt. Just get in there. Get
this
in
is
there.
Their only backup plan?
Get busy. Sometimes it is, unfortunately. And, you know, and maybe it's good to paint yourself into a corner. It makes you perform.
Yeah.
Would you do any of the stuff that the contestants are asked to do on Fear Factor?
Sure. A lot of the fun stuff, the driving the cars off like cliffs that, and all that nonsense. Yeah, I would love to do that. That looks like a lot of fun. A lot of the physical stunts look like a challenge.
They don't
a
let
lot of
you
fun.
Try any of it?
No. There's a lot of expense involved
talent,
in
I know, but...
insuring any stunt. Like, you know, so if you insure it for four guests or four contestants, rather, you know, if they added me in just for a goof, it would probably cost a lot of money.
Oh.
Every time, you know, you can't.
But they don't,
I would like to, but it would
they don't
be
really have standards for what they're going to cover, do they? With this round, it's like
expanded.
Would you like to sit in the meetings where they talk about what's going to happen and they discuss whether they want to cover it or not?
Where
that'd
they
be
can
fascinating.
Die or not?
Oh, you haven't even seen them. I can't tell you. I wish I could tell you because there's not. There's a debate of one. There's one episode where they don't know whether or not a stunt is going to get through. When we go to commercial, I'll tell you.
Okay.
But
can we say it on air afterwards?
Well, you can try. probably get your license pulled.
Does it involve a
it's
horse?
It's ridiculous. No,
oh,
it
no,
involves
please
a horse.
Don't.
Come on now.
It involves a donkey. Keep going. You're getting warmer.
Joe, does anyone ever get hurt? As a contestant,
well,
you
can get injured, yeah, for sure. I mean, no, if you're competing and you're doing anything physical, for sure, you're running and jumping and jumping onto things and things are blowing up. Yeah, you can get hurt. But
have they ever had an episode
fortunate.
That they couldn't air because somebody got hurt?
No. We've been very fortunate. The only injuries we've ever had have been very minor. You know, things like, you know, twisted ankles and hurt shoulders and stuff like that.
What's a typical type of person that gets on that show? Are they just macho, I can do anything?
No,
are they
just
crazy?
The gayest man in the world on this time around. He was great. He weighs like 80 pounds.
Right.
And he was
what,
game.
What was it? Just take all challenges?
He got tear gas. I don't want to tell you. A lot of stuff happened to that poor guy.
What was his motivation? Was he just the guy who needed the money? Or was looking
for people were trying to make some money. There's no one standard type of contestant. And what I find is very different this time around is people know reality TV now. It's a different animal. When we came out in 2001, first of all, we were very unaccepted on television. Like, it was kind of, we were like a redhead stepchild of TV. And
like
now
they wouldn't promote you and stuff?
Yeah,
they were embarrassed about the show.
Fear Factor was kind of embarrassing, and rightly so. You know, there's nothing like it before, and all of a sudden people are eating animal penises in front of while you're trying to have dinner. You know,
TV has sunk to a new low.
Who's hungry?
But then the Kardashians came along and lowered the bar so far that we're like an intellectual challenge now. And then watching Fear Factors now, it's like, wow, man, like, how would I go about this? And then it gives you like some food for thought. You know, it's when you watch Real Housewives or whatever, and watch these dumb, you can't say that word, right?
Yeah, no, you can't. It's such a weird world, though, where you worked hosting Fear Factor into your comedy for a long time. Hey, there's that Fear Factor guy. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Now
it's back.
It's all coming back around.
It's very strange. I've never heard of anything like that happening before. You know, and what happened was the Chiller Network is a smaller network that NBC owns, and they were airing repeats, and the repeats got really good numbers. And so then that convinced the brass to... Matt Kunitz, the executive producer, had been pushing to have it brought back on forever. And they just,
had he been talking to you the whole time or no?
He every now and then would send me an email. So what are you doing? You want to host this thing again? What's happened? Let me know. And then finally he said, hey, we're actually going to do 8 of them. And I was like, wow. Okay. Right,
did
it
have to be gone for 5 years before you would want to do it again? In other words, if they had come to you a year after, you probably would have said no, right?
I would have probably said yes if they came up with a cat.
trash.
All right.
You know me, dude. I'm always worried about the end of the world, and I'm trying to stockpile water and buy land.
And money.
Try to find a good place to farm and shoot animals, you know. I would, you know, just for an extra pickup truck, I probably would have done it. Just to plan for that.
Sometimes I think, I wish I was as smart as Joe Rogan, and then other times I think, I'm glad I'm not as smart as Joe Rogan.
It's not a smart.
Don't worry about all that stuff.
It's not a smart. There's a lot of people smarter than me. It's an attention to variables. That's my issue. My issue is I don't look at traffic and go, wow, there's a lot of cars. I look at traffic and go, what could go wrong here? This guy could crash into that guy, and that guy could crash into that guy. What if somebody falls off the top of that thing? What if there's an earthquake right now? Is that thing support? How much does it support? What if you get stuck underneath and there's an earthquake? Somebody's going to die like that eventually. That could be me.
And then, you're going to end up rocking in a wheelchair in a home talking to yourself.
I just smoke weed, and then I just go in a different direction. That's why I self-medicate.
Here's what I think while I'm driving and I'm in traffic.
Too many people.
She's hot.
That's it.
That's
it.
That's all I got. And then another space of about 30 seconds of nothing. I bet Joe has, of all the people we know, he has the best earthquake preparedness plan.
Oh, no question.
You gotta be prepared. You gotta have water.
If you lost all the power at your house, how long could you live without ever going outside or
I could stay high for at least 6 months.
All right, that's the important thing. That's the important thing. Joe Rogan is here. Fear Factor, by the way, airs tonight at 8 on NBC. And as we mentioned earlier, UFC 142. We're going to talk about all the craziness that's going on in Joe's world. I want to talk about this Jaguar and some other things, too, with Joe. When we return right after this, I'm the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show with Joe Rogan in studio.
Hi.
Joe Rogan is here. You can follow him on Twitter, at Joe Rogan, and you should. The website is joerogan.net. And, of course, the podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience. By the way, Joe was just telling us, you got an awesome topic planned for the podcast today.
Well,
about all these hormones that are being used in fighting, right?
Well, it's not really. It's just one subject. There's a woman who is the Strikeforce champion, former Strikeforce champion, who is very muscular. And it's always been thought that she's probably doing something to get that muscular.
She just tested
positive. So we're going to talk to a doctor who understands this stuff, and he's going to say whether or not it could have come possibly from some diuretic supplement or some diet supplement. You know, they always claim that, though. That's
what was Benny Ramirez? What was his excuse? That was some kind of a...
Well, they always say that, you know, they're
erectile dysfunction or something.
Well, was he taking something?
I don't remember what it was, but it was something.
I thought he was taking some sort of woman's hormone thing.
There used to be some stuff that you could buy from, like, GNC that really was steroids. There was some stuff before. Remember when the Mark McGuire thing went down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was some stuff called Mag-10 that you could buy that was like, you might as well be taking steroids. I mean, it was ridiculously powerful. You could take it and, you know, you had to take a lot of them. It was like 6 or 7 pills a day. But if you took it, like, my God, you'd have these massive increases in, like, your size and musculature. But obviously, this stuff is for men. These are male hormones.
Right, and she was taking them?
I don't know. You know, no one knows but her and whoever gave her the stuff. But that it's long been argued that she's way too manly. I don't know, you know. But you know, I mean, look, there's really feminine guys, you know, right? You know,
yeah.
Isn't there a broad spectrum of people?
Absolutely. Hey, we've all met Psycho Mike. Let's face it, we're all thinking it.
Pee Wee Herman.
Come on, Joe. Let's talk about because we haven't in your visit here today. Your obsession with how animals are going to take over the world and kill us all. Let's talk about your little friend the jaguar and how that photo ended up.
My obsession is not that animals are going to take over the world. I have just been in their presence. I mean, I had a dog get killed by a mountain lion when I lived in Colorado. I've been around wild animals. I think people that live in cities and people that have never had like big dogs that have gotten in fights before or anything like that, you really don't realize that there's a whole world of predators out there, and it's not a joke. It's not a game.
Yeah.
They're professional killers. That's what they do. They get up every morning, and they have to kill to stay alive. And every now and then, a person runs in their track. And in India, a jaguar, I don't know who took these pictures, but some guy got cell phone pictures of this jaguar that got into a populated area. And with one swipe, it's on my Twitter feed, Joe Rogan, at Twitter, JoeRogan, scalps this guy. Literally scalps him.
With
the jaguar swiped at his head, and the guy's scalp and hair was flipped up like he was wearing a toupee.
Morning.
Crazy.
Morning.
Yeah, it's a crazy picture, man. And that big cat. You know, I've always said that if a house cat, like I used to have I had a feral cat at one time, and it was a kitten. And, you know, it was a really crazy situation. Like a friend of mine had these kittens underneath her house, and she gave them away to a bunch of friends, and me, like a dumbass, I just take in strays, man. I can't help it. I see them. They look cute.
Right.
But feral cats are really nutty. Like when they're with you and telling you, once you pick them up and you have them, they purr and everything's cool. But then you put them down, they'll hiss and claw the walls and go crazy. And I spent a couple of days in this in my house with this kitten because I had to get this kitten accustomed to me. So what I did was I moved his litter box and I moved his food, everything into one of my bedrooms, and I just locked us in. I just read books. So
wow.
Right, you and me are going to hang out, and we're going to get to know each other. Otherwise, you can't live in my house, man.
Right.
You know, we're going to have to figure out whether I can live with this kitten. And, you know,
was he figuring out
the
whole time how to kill you?
Well, when you put them down, they would spaz and would, like, knock down the drapes and run over. And I was like, man, if this cat wanted to kill me, it weighs like a pound. I would be scared.
It would take it about 23 hours, but yeah. It could get you.
It was fortunately, it was just trying to get away from me. It was just screeching and hissing and trying to get away from me. But if it was like a full-size house cat, man, you got a real problem. If a full-size house cat wants to kick your ass, yeah. Like, you're going to get messed up. Like, you might kill him. Probably you'll kill him if you're determined, if you're right. Not a pussy. But, you know, that cat is gonna inflict some damage.
It'll take you down with it.
Now think about this 170-pound, 200-pound jaguar that was running through the streets of India, just jacking people, just ripping their faces off with claws, man. You know, India has a real problem with big cats. Jaguars, the least their worries. Thousands of people have been killed by tigers in India. And in fact, there's one area of India where you can't even go. It's called the Sundarbans. And they don't allow people to go there. Not only that, but they have census takers who have to go and find out how many killer cats there are there. Because the cats, by the way, have developed a taste for human flesh because of the monsoons.
Man.
The monsoons from all these, you know, it's very poor in that area. And, you know, in parts of rural India, a lot of people live very close to the rivers, and, you know, a lot of times bodies get washed into the rivers, and these people die in these huge tropical storms. And they have no alternative. They can't hide anywhere. There's nowhere to go. So they get killed by storms. And then the tigers start eating their flesh. So they develop a taste for their flesh. And then on top of that, the tigers are extremely aggressive. And a lot of times, the explanation for that is the brackish water. The water has a high salt content. So apparently it's very painful for the tigers. And so they become really vicious. And so when these census takers go there, they have to wear these helmets where the back of their neck is covered, and they put a mask on the back of their head because tigers like to get you from behind.
Oh,
that's
man.
How they like to creep up on you and jack you when you're not looking.
Too.
So if they see a fate, that's your move too? It's a lot of people's move. Let's face it. It's an old standard. And so they have these masks on the back of these helmets, and then they're walking in a tripod, you know, with one guy faces the front, and then they face in different corners because they have to look out for tigers, and they all have rifles.
That's a bad job.
Tall grass, and they're measuring footprints, and they're just trying to figure out how many of these killer beasts are roaming around. You know,
how tough must it be to hire people for that job? By the way, to be a census taker to count killer tigers.
I think it's pretty easy. Unfortunately, in India, there's not a whole lot of jobs. Either you work in Bollywood, or you go out there and you find out how many tigers there are. But there's been some insane number. I think the Sundarbans. I think over the last 100 years, I think I read 300,000. People have been killed by tigers.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
It is weird, Joe. We do take for granted, because we live in a first world nation like America, that we don't get killed by animals. But there are lots of places in the world where you get killed by rhinos, or you get killed by monkeys. I mean, there's a lot of animals out there.
Where I lived in Colorado, there was a corner store, and it had a big sign. And I was in the mountains. I was like 3,000 feet above Boulder. And there was a sign that said, if a bear attacks, you play dead. And if a mountain lion attacks, you fight back. And it was all this explanation for it. You have to figure out what to do and if which monster gets you.
Wow.
And that's what they are, man. Yeah. You know, a bear, I mean, even a small black bear is still a giant dog. A giant killer thing that eats cars.
Yeah.
You know, they break into people's cars and eat their seats. They just rip their seats apart because they don't know what a seat is. You know, they know that leather seat gets them confused. They think it's some sort of food. So they have a real problem with bears, like, literally mangling people's interiors.
I was lucky enough to get to go to Africa for a safari. I wanted to do that my whole life, and I finally got to go. And you're sitting right next to lions, and you realize, like, I'm in their world now. They could kill me in an instant without even thinking, and not give it another thought.
And you're not in, like, a Pope mobile either, are
you? No. It's an open truck.
Yeah, what
truck.
Is that?
And I go,
never
hey,
understood
where's
that.
Your gun? To the guy. I'm like, where's your gun? He goes, we don't have guns. I'm like, well, where's your, don't you have a blow dart or something? He's like, no, we know the animals. We know when they're full or when they're agitated. We stay away.
Oh, my God. That's
elephants
ridiculous.
Charge you. But it was so fascinating to realize how unbelievably insignificant you are.
Yeah, people are so cocky. Did you hear about that lady that was bungee jumping? She's bungee jumped 350 feet in the crocodile-infested waters, and the bungee jump snapped.
Yes, it did.
The bungee cord snapped, and her feet were tied together because she was attached to the bottom of this thing. So she plunges 350 feet into crocodile-infested river waters with her feet tied together.
I don't feel bad for her, though.
She lived.
She lived, though. She made it. She made it. How about that? Yeah, she made it.
Well, Joe, I'm glad you came in today because occasionally our listeners will think, I don't have much to worry about today. Things are cool. And it's good every once in a while they need to hear you and realize there's a lot of stuff out there.
Coming to an end.
Right.
We have less than a year left, folks. Party it up.
Follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Rogan. Website again is joerogan.net, and you should be always downloading the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. That is through iTunes. Don't forget Fear Factor tonight at 8 on NBC and UFC 142 pay-per-view this Saturday night in Rio. Joe Rogan, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Appreciate it.
Stupid Denver Broncos.
Come on,
stupid
man.
Broncos.
God's team. Jesus?
God's team.
Dumb Broncos.
What are you saying?
I don't want to pay money.
That'd be so awesome if it happened that way.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 7:55.
Ralph, you're rooting for Denver to go all the way now, right?
Hell yes.
You don't have a team. I don't have a team. Why not get behind the Broncos?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing would be funnier than Kevin had to pay off that listener because he lost her betting ticket.
I found that most of the people who follow me on Twitter believe the same.
Yeah. They were chiming in.
You are listening to The Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on The Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Because it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies over the box office weekend. And The Devil Inside was number one this weekend. 1.5. Someone stole that register.
It's 1.5.
$34.5 million made it number one this weekend.
I heard, A, it only cost $1 million to make.
Yeah, I think they made it in Italy or something on a shoestring budget. It was.
Kevin, you saw it. No stars, right?
Nope. Just Satan.
Satan's a star.
If that's Satan, a star, right? If you consider him a star.
And I also heard it's the third biggest January opening ever, which is just unbelievable to me.
It was really good.
People like to be scared, it turns out.
They sure do.
If your mom is possessed by Satan and she's in a crazy house in Rome.
Yes.
Leave her there.
Don't go there and
don't
visit.
Go there
try to reestablish your relationship.
Fix it. Just leave her there. Sayonara.
All right.
Sure wish that didn't happen. See ya.
Yeah.
It's my advice.
That's Omar's problem. His mom's possessed by the devil. he just won't leave it alone.
Keeps
going back. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was 2 at the box office. Then Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked was 5th. And then the rest of the top 10, War Horse, We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and New Year's Eve. I am concerned, I'm upset, I am rattled by this morning's news from TMZ.com. They were talking to Dave Hester from Storage Wars.
Yep.
You want to tell people why you keep doing that?
Yep.
Dave Hester is on a show on A&E called Storage Wars about these people who go to storage containers, the storage, what do you call those places?
Storage
facility.
There you go. Storage facility. And they have, the lockers there that you buy, the storage containers themselves, and you put your stuff in there and you lock it up. But if you don't pay the rent, then they have the right to auction off your contents of that storage locker. So, this show, they show these people who do this for a business. They go there, they bid on these lockers, sight unseen. They go through the stuff, try to find stuff that's valuable, then they resell it. Most of them have either auction houses or thrift shops or something like that.
And so, it's a crapshoot because it could be a gold mine, there could be something valuable in there, or it could just be people's dirty laundry.
It's modern-day treasure hunting, basically. You're just going in there, sight unseen, hoping to find something of value. So, I'm obsessed with this show. And there's a guy on the show called David Hester who's a dick. He has this big Orange County operation, and he's got this auction house and this secondhand consignment store, and he forces other people to pay too much for stuff. He bids them up, and then he'll back out the last minute, so he'll stick it to a guy who's paid too much for a locker that has crap inside of it, or if somebody really wants something, he's got a lot of money, so he will bid and bid and bid until he wins the locker just to stick it to him. He's just a dick. But when he bids, every time he raises his bid, he goes, yep, yep, yep. So you're here in the back of the crowd or in the front of the crowd sometimes. Like somebody will be bidding, is it $250 or $250? And they go, $250 once, $250 going twice. Yep. And he'll knock it up to $300. He'll just take it from you, crush you every chance he gets.
I love it.
So TMZ was talking to this guy yesterday, and it turns out they are renegotiating all the contracts for the show.
Yes.
And he has said he has not signed his contract to come back to the show because he thinks he deserves more money because he is the star of the show. Dick!
He's a negotiator.
He's going to ruin my show.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you hate him. You hope he doesn't come back.
No, you got to have a villain.
Yeah,
he's your villain.
He's your Vader. Okay.
Yeah, you got to have somebody that everybody hates and sort of works against. I love watching that dynamic between him and Daryl Sheets and all these other people. They've all had altercations with him. Yeah. Jared and Brandy, who I think we're going to have the show on later this week. Jared and him almost came to blows in the parking lot one episode. It was great. He like took off his glasses. He's like a pudgy little doughy little asshole, and he just took off his glasses. And Brandy takes the coffee away from her boyfriend. Jared's like, why don't you just kick his ass right now? He's like, I'm going to kick your ass. Oh, it's awesome.
Are we going to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said their offer is unjust.
Sure.
I'm in negotiations right now with A&E, and I just hope they would get away from their unjust contract negotiations. The ball is really in their court, so I guess we'll have to wait and see whether they'll pony up the cash to get Dave Hester back on the show or not, but I sure hope so.
He also complains he wasn't invited to A&E's Christmas party.
Wow.
You know what?
Because you're a dick. Nobody wants you at their party. They want you on your show, but not on their party.
Yep.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthday is Nina DeBrev from The Vampire Diaries, is 23 years old today. Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, formerly known as Kate Middleton. She is
too many bells for her.
30 years old today.
She's pretty darn hot.
She's hot for a royal family member. You see hotter girls walking down Melrose every day, son.
Dude, if you were out at a nightclub in Orange County tonight and saw her across the bar, you would think she was really hot.
I would think she's hot.
Yeah.
That's it. Not really hot.
She's not Nina DeBrev hot.
No.
AJ McClain of the Backstreet Boys is 34 years old. Matt Hoffman, pro BMX rider, he's 40. Joey Lauren Adams from Chasing Amy fame is 44 years old. Dave Matthews turns 45 today. Steve Harwell, lead singer of Smash Mouth, is 45. J.K. Simmons, very talented actor. Law and Order, Oz. Is it Simmons or Simons? I think it's Simmons.
I thought it was Simons, but I don't know. I'm guessing.
You thought Beyonce's baby's name was Ivy Blue, too. Come on, man.
I'm just going through life guessing, man, like everyone.
Bad info. He is 57 years old today, and Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin fame turns 68. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
There are always lots of reasons for you to check out KROQ.com and the Kevin and Bean page or KevinandBean.com. For instance, today, if you go there, you can see some video and meet the next president of the United States, Mr. Vernon Supreme.
Do you still stand by your pledge made in 2008 to provide a pony for every American?
Yes, I do, sir.
So you got that. You got Vernon Supreme if you want to check him out at KROQ.com. And also, we're talking about guys with girly tattoos, and there's a picture up of a guy with a dolphin tattoo. Now, he lost an arm, and his stump has been turned into a dolphin.
That's a sweet stump.
It's a pretty sweet stump.
You know what I mean? Because it looks like a dolphin is jumping off of his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's actually very, very clever.
As far as stumps go, that's one of the better ones.
But of all the tattoos in the world he could have gotten, why a dolphin? Doesn't it seem like there might have been something a little more manly than a dolphin that he could have chosen? Like, an elephant trunk or something. You know, there's a lot of ways you could go where you don't say,
it's not that
hey,
long,
look...
It's not elephant trunk long.
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend on the scale of how big you drew the elephant. But I'm just saying, something about getting a dolphin tattoo screams, hey, look at me, I'm on Grey's Anatomy.
Did you see the picture of Ben Affleck?
What's that about?
He's got a tiny little dolphin, kind of on his lower left side, like right above his belt line. And it's just a little diving dolphin. And you go, that must be a matching one. I'd like to look at Jennifer Garner and see if she's got a matching one. Because if not, how's that decision made?
I don't get that. That is an interesting choice. Absolutely.
It's not a shark. It's just a little cute dolphin.
You have the world to choose from when it comes to getting tattoos. And how some dudes end up with chick tattoos, I don't know.
I would consider all dolphins, by the way. I would consider a chick tattoo.
But what if you love the ocean?
Then make it a shark.
Make it a shark.
What if it's a buff dolphin, like just ripped and shredded?
No.
Why not make it a shark? Why not make it a shark? Why do you have to stick with that?
Well, dolphins can kill sharks.
What about a sea lion or anything else?
Well, sea lion's pussy.
I don't know. Now, we're talking to Beer Mug. Beer Mug, what do you have on your arm?
Well, I have, amongst other things, I have a parrot, a tiger, and a bunch of roses, and it comes out to a dozen, and I kind of came up with that theme and idea, because a dozen roses is the ultimate sign of affection.
Right.
So my tattoo artist threw it on me, and you guys are giving me crap already about it.
Because what happened was we said, hey, Beer Mug, you have tattoos of roses, right? Because that also, it strikes you as a chick tattoo. Not a lot of guys out there going, give me a nice rose.
first of all.
So Beer Mug, so we asked Beer Mug, and he says, "Yeah, I had some other tattoos. I just had to fill. I just had it filled in.
Mm-hmm.
It made it sound like there was, you know, maybe a 2-inch by 2-inch space where he was just going to put a rose in there. It's he's sleeved now, which is all right, but it's 90% roses.
Yeah.
His whole arm is roses. And then he's got two little tiny tattoos at the end of it. It doesn't even...
So it really is a theme.
It's a rose arm.
Yeah, it is a rose arm. Kevin's right.
What's the...
But, I mean, it doesn't look girly. It does.
But hold on.
It looks like the wallpaper in my mom's bathroom is what it looks like.
No, it does not. First of all.
Hey, King of Mexico, come in with the camera, please.
Okay, so...
We're going to put it up online.
I did a little research.
Oh, good.
And to no avail, I haven't gotten anybody in specific.
Mm-hmm.
But I can... Come on. There's got to be, like, MMA fighters with, like, a rose... Like, something rose theme. There's...
But it might involve, like, their mom. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
it,
this is the ultimate showing of affection. To whom?
Right, to whom?
Who
was this
you,
for?
To you. To
all
everybody.
Of us.
Was this for no one?
Yeah, no.
That's a ridiculous tattoo.
This is Beer Mug buying the world a dozen roses to show how much he loves everyone.
Thank you, Bean. And you know what? No, look, there's like hardcore metal guys with like tattoos with roses in them.
With roses in them.
Yes.
You have...
Like mine.
No. You have just roses.
No, but
this is they're not in anything.
There's a tough pirate parrot surrounding it. There's a tiger right here.
A tiny pretty, little tiger.
That's tough. No,
did you say a tough parrot?
Yeah.
He did.
He's got a peg leg and an eye patch.
All right, that's funny.
Yeah.
But it's about 1 inch of the entire arm.
It's my whole forearm. All right,
we're going to put the picture up. And then we're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 if you have... Girly tattoos.
Like a butterfly would be girly.
Sure. As would a rose.
Okay, hold on, Kevin. Are guys that wear roses in their tuxedos girly? Is that girly? Is a rose...
I don't know. Can they take that off?
Yeah, but they're wearing it at one point.
Yeah, but it's
are
sort
they
of,
girly?
Are, it's sort of... You're supposed to wear that when you go with a girl, I think.
I'm with the girl, too. Every day. All day.
Oh, my God. This is pathetic.
You're not doing yourself any favors defending this tattoo. It is a weird choice. And by the way, again, 1-800-520-1067. If you're a guy with a girly tattoo, we definitely want to hear from you. Maybe you didn't think it was a girly tattoo and found out bad surprise afterwards. People started interpreting it that way. But, Muggs, this is what I don't get. Your defense is I got the roses because I needed something to fill in around my macho parrot, right? Couldn't it have been any number of other things? I mean, couldn't it have been a tree?
Yes.
It could have been tree leaves, for God's sake. It could have been dice. It could have been playing cards. They could have put anything that could fill in that spot. But a rose is a way of saying, I have a vagina. Look at me. I'm a chick.
Bean, one of his roses, I'm not kidding, is like 3 inches by 3 inches. I mean, this is not a tiny
It's bigger than the tiger and bigger than the parrot,
yes!
Right? The rose is.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you intentionally went out of your way to find something that really does scream femininity. Look, I know you've got boobs. I get that. That doesn't mean that attention needs to, hey, look at me. I'm a chick. I mean, that's what you're saying with this tattoo.
You know what?
I mean, God bless you, Muggs, but seriously, you can't defend that as being manly. You can't.
Okay. Well, so let's take some calls.
All right, we will. We will. And most of them, I would imagine, would be girl inspired, at least. At least you had a girlfriend at the time, and she wanted you to get at least that. But you had this on your own, where you went roses.
Yeah, I just want to show all the ladies that I'm an affectionate guy.
You know, you can masturbate whenever you want. You don't have to wine and dine yourself, Muggs. You get that, right?
That's a good point.
All right, we'll take your calls in a minute. 1-800-520-1067.
Yep.
106.7 K Rock is K R O Q, and it is Kevin and Bean Show at 8:26.
Talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in a minute. First, though, thanks to Ben Affleck and the photo that has come out of him with the dolphin tattoo on his... It's on his back, right?
It looks like his front
backside.
Abdomen. Maybe it's backside, yeah.
I couldn't tell where the
maybe
paint
it's a tramp
were,
stamp. I don't know.
One of our listeners has suggested that he and Matt Damon have matching tattoos. Now, I don't know if that's just a joke or if that's something those two did because they're best friends as a joke, an in-joke with each other. I don't know whether that's true or not. But we're talking about guys with girly tattoos. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jason, we're going to go to you in 1 second. Gail writes in, hey, I have more questions about Beer Mug and all these roses he's got. He claims he has a tiger. Have you looked at it? Knowing Beer Mug, it's probably Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. And what about this macho parrot he's talking about? Check again. Probably the Disney parrot from Aladdin. Well,
it's
you know
true.
What? I wouldn't be surprised if all of that was true. You're a guy with a girly tattoo like our man Beer Mug. Jason, what happened, dude? What do you got? What's going on?
Morning, guys.
Hi.
Couple of butterflies, couple of hummingbirds. It's basically a huge back piece, just a tribute to the world's best flower in the world.
What's the world's best flower?
Purple Kush.
Ah. All right, I get the purple
Kush.
It's
so girly when it's a bud plant.
I get the purple Kush, but you got the hummingbirds and butterflies?
My whole back.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
But I get, I'm with Kevin. Why hummingbirds and whatever else you said?
Wait, is the purple Kush on there, or is it just...
It's the tree of life.
Right, but is the Kush on there?
Oh, yeah. It's the part centerpiece.
It's the centerpiece. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, better. But wouldn't it be better without the hummingbirds?
Not for me, at least. If it's a tribute to nature, you got to have everything in there.
Well, you don't have everything.
I don't see lions. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Jason. No.
He needs a little less Kush and a little less hummingbird. Let's try Nick. Nick is on line three. He joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
I have a girly
tattoo. Different. I hope it's a different Nick. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi, guys. And that's not me. I'm not that Nick.
Okay. Okay, good. What's up?
I have a butterfly behind my ear.
A butterfly behind your ear?
Yeah, it's for my mom because I actually have a bunch of other tattoos, and while I was getting them, she complained that nobody in my family had any tattoo for her, so I surprised her at a birthday dinner the day before I got it. Like, I got it that day, and then when we got there, I showed it to her.
Okay, now, does she love butterflies, or what's the tie-in?
Yeah, she loves butterflies.
Okay.
She recently got her first tattoo, and they were butterflies. So I got it for her, and ironically, it's the only one of my tattoos they can actually see while I have a shirt on.
All right, that's fine. I have no problem with that. You do it for your mom? Good enough. Mugs had nothing to do with that.
No,
that
was just for my mom now.
By the way, thank you very much for the call, by the way. You can go to kevinandbean.com right now, and you can take the poll. Does Beer Mug's rose tattoo seem girly to you? And there are pictures up there of his arm and his gut. So if you want to go there, you can vote right now. Is it a girly tattoo or not? 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Susan, by the way. She's on line 7. She married a dude with a girly tattoo. Let's find out what that's about.
Hmm. Susan?
Hey, Kevin B.
Did he have the girly tattoo when you married him, or did he get it after?
No, he got it totally random. It's a big-ass butterfly.
What's going on there?
It's a big butterfly.
I have no idea. It's like 3 inches by 3 inches. It's huge.
Wow.
On his upper arm.
Is there any other tattoo on his arm that it kind of fits in with?
Nothing at all.
Just
one
butterfly.
Tattoo, big butterfly.
Okay, did he talk to you about it before he went out and got it, or was it just a bad surprise one day?
Bad surprise. He just came home one day, hey, got a tattoo, and it's a butterfly.
A butterfly. Did you say why, and what was his answer?
He said, I liked it. That's it. Like, people make fun of him all the time.
Did you file for divorce that day?
About it.
No, thought about it. All right.
And just like in the case with Beer Mug's girlfriend, you're really unsatisfied in the bedroom now, right?
Come on.
All right, thank you for the call. That laugh was a yes.
Yeah, that was definitely a yes. All right, you want to talk to Frankie about his tramp stamp on line one? See what's going on there? 1-800-520-1067. Guys with girly tattoos, that's the topic here on the Kevin Amici. You can see Beer Mug's roses at krock.com. Hi, Frankie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What's up? Yeah, I got a tramp stamp.
A tramp stamp?
It's two pistols pointing down to my butt.
Right.
But they say salvation and damnation.
Right. Okay. All right. And are you still happy with that tattoo?
I am, because, I mean, it has, like, some religious meaning to me, but the only reason why I didn't get it in my front was in my stomach because I'm fat. So
I
don't want stretch marks.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Craigie's got a lot of problems in his life. Lisa, you've been with a lot of guys. How often do you see a tramp stamp on a dude?
I never have.
Ever,
right?
Ever.
Yeah, it's not a thing that guys do, right?
Interesting choice.
So you have two pistols, and one says what?
Salvation, and the other one says damnation.
Okay. And that's it.
Well, yeah, well, one's rusted, and then the other one looks pretty new. It's just like, hold on.
What's he doing?
Was it the hard road to salvation and the easy road to damnation, I guess?
Okay. I see. Well, good
luck with that.
All right.
Then. Please enjoy.
Okay. Bye.
Beer Mug, these are your people, man.
I don't know.
Are your people.
I've never had less to say to anyone in my life. There's just no question came to my mind.
Just stop it, people. That's what we're saying.
Hey, Andrew Siciliano breaks down the miracle that is Tim Tebow coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show and all the other NFL playoff action as we look ahead as well. By the way, don't forget the national championship college game is tonight as well, so we'll be talking about that as well. How about Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, TMZ the entertainment website of record, TMZ television, check your local listings. Hey, Harvey, welcome to Monday, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Doing great. Love to see the coverage of the Elin Nordegren story. Tell people who have not been paying attention what she's got going on that has put her back on your site.
Well, this is great. So she used some of her $100 million to buy this amazing mansion in Palm Beach, right by the water. $12 million, 9,000 square feet. She has torn that mansion down, and she is building another one. We just put the blueprint that we got up on the website, which is pretty much a spitting image of what was there.
It's a kind of identical. Yeah, she's kind of tearing it down and then building it right back up.
Now, the builder has said that, you know, she don't be unfair, that it had termites, that it wasn't up to code for hurricanes. But I guess, you know, the reality here is, and there's nothing bad about it, but the reality is she would have known that before she bought it.
Yeah.
So she clearly intended to knock this thing down, and that's the guy, that's what you call Tiger Woods money.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's such an F you to the world. It's like, hey, I am so rich based on my husband cheating on me that I can do anything I want. And this is not a house, by the way. This is a mansion. 9,000 square feet. What did you say? 9 bedrooms, a bunch of double kitchen, a bunch of living rooms. I mean, it's just tremendously huge, right, Harvey?
Right. And what she's going to build is amazing. I mean, this thing is going to have 2 living rooms, 2 kitchens, a large pool, but my favorite. It's going to have a grotto.
Sweet.
Two jacuzzis.
Sweet.
Nice.
A wine cellar, 3 guest bungalows. I mean, it is going to be amazing.
Hey, so she needs to live.
And she has plenty of money to plenty of money after that.
Yeah.
When the whole Tiger Woods thing came down, how long has it been now, Harvey? It's been a couple of years, right?
Yep.
Okay. She moved away to Sweden, and I thought, well, there's a smart girl because she wants to get out of the heat of the press, and she wants to just go off and raise her kids and be private and everything like that. I guess enough time has passed now that she's ready to come back and be someone in America again. And it's funny, when I was when I told my wife about this story over the weekend, my wife, by the way, you know, she's not down with being cheated on. She's like, good, I hope the house has glass walls so that Tiger has to watch her effing every guy that comes through there.
Oh, wow. Ooh, someone's in trouble.
I was like, dude.
Hilarious.
I should not have brought the story up at all, but that is crazy to think about buying a $12 million house and tearing it down. All right, let's talk about another big, big money couple, and that is Jay-Z and Beyonce, who did a fantastic job of keeping the pregnancy quiet until a few months ago. And then even since then, they've kind of been out of you know, out of the spotlight, but now the baby is here.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday night, I got a tip from somebody, and this is just it's so great the way these things happen, and I got to kind of protect this, but there's somebody I know very well who's friends with some of the honchos who work at that place.
Right.
And it was just a bunch of girls talking, basically. And it slipped out that she was having the cesarean, and she was supposed to have it at midnight. And so we knew that this was going on, but we went out there. It was so stealth that there was just no evidence of it. And it turned out that they had a security team meeting with all the honchos of the hospital. And they not only planned for massive security, but they planned for stealth security so it didn't look like there was security.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I heard that, did I see on your site that they paid for the whole floor?
Yeah, this could have cost like more than $1 million, this whole thing.
What is it they're afraid of somebody, of some breach in hospital security and somebody getting a picture of either the procedure or the baby?
Yeah, they want the floor. You know, can I just ask, I mean, oh, I shouldn't say this.
Say it.
Blue Ivy?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, what's that about?
We'll say it too, Blue Ivy? Come on now.
Oh my God.
Now, was it Lady Gaga who tweeted her interpretation of what? Somebody tweeted this weekend, Harvey, maybe you saw it, that blue was a tribute to Jay-Z and his Blueprint Records. That's what that was. And Ivy is because it's Beyonce's 4 is her favorite number, and it's Ivy Roman numeral 4, right?
I mean, that's the operative theory here. I guess it's, you know, fine, but it's weird.
Yeah, that's great, except for she's how many times is she going to have to explain that? As she grows, my dad did an album.
Here's the advantage of Beyonce. Once, because everybody knows what's going on in her life.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. There's a party planning company called Blue Ivy, and they are just getting flooded with calls. So, of course, being entrepreneurial, they now want the baby to be the spokesmodel.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. A two-day-old baby being a spokesmodel.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how rich this kid is. This poor little kid is sitting there having no idea what its life is going to be like. But my God, can you imagine if Jay-Z and Beyonce were your parents, how crazy that kid's life is going to be, Harvey?
And this kid is just, well, you know, they're going to probably, she seems like she's going to be a great mom. Mm-hmm. I got to say.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I guess so.
She seems like she's going to be a great mom, and this kid is just going to be. I'd like to buy Denver.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you can follow all of this and see the sweetest pictures of Leanne Rimes' ass you ever wanted to see at TMZ.com right now. Also, check your local listings for TMZ television. When in Hollywood, why not take your friends on the TMZ tour also? Harvey, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys.
You're Kevin and Bean. I've been up since 6:30 this morning listening to your stupid show, waiting for you to announce the trip to Spain to see Coldplay. Can you announce it already so I can either celebrate or go back to sleep?
Wow.
Thanks. That's from Joanna. Please give me some good news for Joanna. Please tell me she's the grand prize winner.
I will tell you what, Joanna, the person who won is not listening and is not waiting and is not standing by their phone. Bianca Lizarraga.
Oh, Bianca Lizarraga.
From Commerce. She won those tickets March 2nd to see Coldplay at Hollywood Bowl, and she also won the grand prize for a trip for two to see Coldplay in Madrid, Spain.
What are the odds her last name is Lizarraga?
It is. Lizarraga.
All right.
Maybe.
What are the odds that that concert is actually May 2nd, not March 2nd, as you just read?
Did I say March?
What are the odds of that?
Mm-hmm. Probably pretty good.
So she won Hollywood Bowl tickets, and everybody was entered into the drawing that we just did, and she is going to Spain. That's basically what's happening.
Yep.
Andrew Siciliano joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk NFL. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
You had Harvey Levin on the phone.
Yes.
TMZ.
Yes.
Editor-in-chief of TMZ.com.
Right. And they had that story on
the
there.
Man.
Is that where you're going?
I didn't hear one mention of Dave Hester.
Yep. On the front page right now.
I didn't hear one mention.
Yeah.
Story
we talking
wars,
about Beyonce and Elon.
Whatever with Beyonce.
People that people care about.
You're dead to me.
Yep.
Hottest story in show business right now about storage wars.
I'm not
It didn't even touch base.
I'm not sure it's the hottest
story
in show business.
Yes, it is. Just ask Dave Hester. All right, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Devil Inside, $34.5 million, made it number one this weekend. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was second. Sherlock Holmes, The Game of Shadows came in at number three. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked rounded out the top five. Then War Horse was sixth. We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, and New Year's Eve rounding out the rest of that list. This is creepy. Corey Feldman has announced.
Oh, no.
He's going to write a tell-all book that he promises will name two Hollywood pedophiles who abused him when he was a child actor.
Ooh, ouch. Two?
Yeah.
Is one of them dead of propofol?
I don't know.
Don't know who you mean.
I haven't read the book, and I don't know what you mean. So I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I don't. Blech.
I don't know that I would
believe him.
But yeah, I don't know that I believe him.
He's such a look at me, and he's so desperate for attention. This is obviously a play to try to get back in the limelight. And then to use, if it did happen, to use that abuse as
to sell books,
to some way, to try to get yourself into public eye again. Just this whole thing is just disgusting and distasteful.
Yep.
I just hope they spell Bean's name right. Because he could use some press, too. I thought it would be good. E! Online has an interesting list of celebrities who were born with extra body parts.
Fantastic. Body parts.
Fantastic.
Yes. What an odd list.
Listen to the joy in Bean's.
I love this.
Like who, Ralph?
Fantastic.
Creepy. Is this like Wahlberg with his third nipple? Is that what we're talking
about?
He's
on the list.
Thing?
Mark Wahlberg, of course, has a third nipple. Mark says, I've come to embrace it. That thing's my prized possession, he told Rolling Stone magazine. Maybe a little bit too much love for his extra nipple.
Yeah.
His superfluous nipple, as they say.
It's a good band.
Also people carrying extra nipples. Lily Allen.
What? All right. That's right.
She's
got
that. Three nipples. She showed her third one on British television in 2007. Lifted up her shirt. And it's right below her bosom.
Okay.
Zac Efron has a third nipple.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
All right.
I know.
I've
got photos of it.
I'm hoping one day it'll go up on eBay.
Creepy alert.
God, you're so creepy.
Why? Because just because I've heard that he has a third nipple, that doesn't make me creepy.
Yep.
It's been out there. It hasn't
no,
been a
but
secret.
You know, the noises.
Stop making noises.
Tay Diggs, actor Tay Diggs, had an extra finger on each hand when he was born.
Cool.
But he had them shortly removed thereafter. Apparently, they don't like kids to run around with six fingers, so they'll take care of the business once you're born. They'll lop that right off for you. Gemma Arterton.
Oh, yeah.
She's hot.
Way hot.
Insanely beautiful actress from, not Game of Thrones, that other, what was that other miniseries that took place in the medieval times?
Spartacus?
No, it was a book.
Troy?
No, stop it. It's not
Sorry,
it.
I don't
Say
know.
The right thing.
Tudor.
It was on Showtime. It was a miniseries like that about.
Oh, not Machiavelli, but.
No, it wasn't.
It was an M, right?
No, it
I
wasn't.
I wish I could
the,
play.
All right.
I wish I could play too.
No, it wasn't the Borgias either.
Come That's on, I'm giving you everything. Of.
No, you're missing the one that it is.
Is the actor's name?
Gemma it's Arterton, Gemma. And it was a mini series based on a popular book. Ken Follett, I think, wrote the book.
Oh.
Prince of Persia?
No.
Not Prince of Persia, it was a video game.
A good guess. She was in that movie, though, apparently.
Oh, I know, the Ken Follett novel.
Yeah, and it made a big mini series, but it was
Pillars
great.
Pillars of Stone.
Pillars of Stone?
Wasn't it? Pillars of Stone?
Pillars of something.
At least that wasn't Pillars worth it after all that time.
Pillars? Pillars of something? Pillars of salt? Pillars? Things are like
pillars.
Pillars.
Sure, it just doesn't matter. Pillars? Can't we just talk about what her extra body part is instead?
Yeah.
No.
Let's focus
we
on what's important here.
We can't move on until we know.
Maybe she wasn't in that Pillars of Stone thing. Maybe she was in something else.
I don't know. It's Muggs. You know,
it's something else.
Yeah, anyway. Thing is, she was born with 12 fingers.
No.
12.
Wow. Oh, my
Sweet.
God.
12 fingers.
An extra
six on
hand?
One and six on the other.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah. Halle Berry has an extra toe, still to this day.
Really?
That's weird.
Extra toe. There's one next to her small toe. Extra toe on 1 foot of the smallest toe.
Hmm.
So I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. It was Pillars of the Earth.
Pillars of the Earth is the name of the
That's
miniseries.
The name of it.
And apparently Gemma Arterton was not in it.
All right.
But there was another beautiful British actress that I love who was in it. It looks very
and
similar.
What kind
to
of body
Gemma
parts
Arterton.
Does she have?
She is completely, she has a full inventory. She's exactly as she should be.
All right.
Wow.
She spent a lot of time on an actress.
Usually
she's not in that
just
show.
Let it go, but.
I could have sworn she was in that.
Sopranos.
Stop.
That's a good guess, though.
She was on Oprah. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, 68. J.K. Simons or Simmons, depending on which one is correct, is 57 years old today.
Hey, Ralph, how do you feel like you used your time with that showbiz beat in retrospect?
Retrospect, I don't really care, okay. So it doesn't really register for me one way or the other.
Okay.
Back to you. Today's one of the shows I'm just marking time in between Andrew Siciliano and Joe Rogan, so whatever works. Joey Lauren Adams is 44 years old today. Matt Hoffman, BMX rider, is 40 years old. AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys, he's 34. The Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, celebrates her 30th birthday. And Nina Dobrev of the Vampire Diaries is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen,
Yay!
From the NFL Yay! Network, joins us in studio.
Woo! Good morning, Kevin and Bade.
Like he do after big NFL weekends, only four games, but enough drama for 20 games. What a great weekend of pigskin football this weekend, huh?
This is my favorite, this and next weekend, my favorite weekends of the year because I actually get to sit on the couch.
Sure, you don't have to work.
And watch games and maybe even have an adult beverage and put my feet up and have friends over and do all that thing, which is what I did. And we waited until the final game to actually get that. Really, really, really good game. I thought the Saints and the Lions were good on Saturday, but the Saints pulled away as most expected. It had its drama, had its records, and its high-flying touchdowns, but yesterday was awesome.
How were the Atlanta Falcons able to score so many points?
So many. So many. And they actually took the early lead 2-0.
2-0 was the early lead. And then
Kevin was asking earlier, and I'd like your professional opinion, Andrew.
Yes,
if you're on the Falcons, wouldn't you rather be shut out than just score 2 points? Isn't it even more embarrassing that that's all you got?
I would rather kick the field goal than score 2.
Of course, but if you only get 2 or 0, it's like getting a nickel tip if you're a waiter, you know?
That's
a poke in the eye.
Oh, funny you mention that. This is a large coffee here from Coffee Bean, a large iced Americano. It was $2.95 on my way here this morning.
So you gave a nickel?
Well, no, I didn't because of exactly that. You don't want to throw the nickel in the cup because it's so demeaning.
So you gave him nothing.
Right?
You didn't reach in and pull out a dollar.
No, I'm there every morning. I mean, I do on certain occasions,
but
the nickel wasn't worth it.
2 points is all, it's bad math.
And Atlanta got those 2 points, like we said, super early in the game.
And you thought that that's a little bit of momentum. They get Eli in the end zone. They get him for intentional grounding. It's 2-0. This team hasn't won a playoff game under Matt Ryan, under this regime. This is...
That was sweet.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
That was sweet.
And Eli, by the way, who certainly had his ups and downs this year, mm-hmm. looked like the Eli of old yesterday, or Saturday, right?
Hey, listen, Eli... It amazes me how many people, talking about Eli Manning here, mm-hmm. quarterback of the Giants, Peyton's younger brother, who has won a Super Bowl. It amazes me, and part of it is because he's in New York, how people just pound on the guy. He's not elite. He's not this. He's not that.
Yeah, I've always thought he was good.
There are maybe five other quarterbacks in football that you would take ahead of Eli, and they've all won. So Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, who am I missing? Breeze, Brady, Skelton. Rodgers... The obvious ones, John Skelton, Ben Roethlisberger, those guys, obviously. Matt Moore in Miami, those guys, sure. I kid. Eli Manning is an elite quarterback who has won championships.
Yeah, agreed.
And the fact that people think he's riding his brother's coattails even this late in his career is offensive. You know, the guy's never gotten one MVP vote? Never won.
Not really.
Talking about he's never won an MVP. He's never received a single vote in the ballot, ever.
Wow. That is shocking.
It boggles my mind.
What are you looking ahead? I know we have other games from this weekend to talk about, but I mean, there's some great matchups next weekend. How do you like the rested Green Bay up against Eli and the Giants? Yeah,
that's a great game. There's the Saints against the 49ers.
Another great game, too.
That's, no one is giving the 49ers one shred of attention, nor chance.
Really?
Well,
I think the 49ers have been under the radar this whole season, though.
They've been under the radar the entire season.
And they've been in first place in a terrible division all year.
And that's part of it, because it's a terrible division. So they're assuming, they're not thinking. But they've beaten good teams everywhere.
They
went on the road and they won in Philadelphia early in the season to prove their mettle, right? They've won these big road games all season long, and no one's giving them attention. When I say that no one's giving them a chance, I don't mean they're not giving them the chance against the Saints. But most people, myself included, said weeks ago, well, the NFC Championship game will be the Saints and the Packers, period.
Right.
And you just disregard the 49ers.
Right.
The 49ers will be rested. They will be ready. They will be at home, which is important. The Saints have never won a road playoff game, for what it's worth. And they are going to give the Saints a run for their money. And then, of course, there is Tom Brady versus Tim Tebow.
Yes, there is. Tim Tebow.
And God already likes Tom Brady, too. He gave him a Victoria's Secret supermodel. He gave him that luscious head of full, head of hair.
Luxurious hair.
Luxurious hair.
Yeah. Describe the mentality heading into overtime with this team.
Well, I think I was very determined. We kept believing him. We honestly didn't have a lot of momentum going into overtime, but we believed, and DT came up with a huge play. And, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, it was so fun to be out there in front of these fans and win it like we did. It was very special, and I'm just so proud of everyone.
And I got to tell you, a lot of Twitter followers were very happy to see that happen
because
of the bet that I screwed up earlier in the season.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Denver Broncos fan says, "Hey, you're putting $20 down on Arizona to win the Super Bowl. How about if I?" And I said, "Fine." I took her $20. I lost the ticket. So, if they win the Super Bowl,
the odds again?
60 well, to 60-1.
Uh-huh.
So I would have to pay $1,200. And there were a lot of people who were very happy to remind me that was the case, as Tim Tebow.
They still got a long way to go, but every week that they don't get eliminated is another week that it's still a possibility that you'll have to pay back that money.
Exactly.
But how funny was it yesterday, though, Andrew Siciliano, here on the Kevin DeBede Show, to watch the range of expressions on John Elway's face, who has to have less patience than anybody with what a bad quarterback Tim Tebow is, because he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He has to look at that. He has to look down on the field and go, "Come on, you should be able to do this."
Perfect example.
Okay.
End of the game. There's a minute left, right? End of the fourth quarter. There's a ball on third down over the middle that he has to complete. I mean, it is a...
Now the guy's open enough, he could catch it and run.
They ended up punting. Steelers get the ball. They go nowhere. We go to overtime. It is a throw that the two rookie quarterbacks, Andy Dalton and T.J. Yates, in that game in Houston Saturday would have made with their eyes closed.
Yeah.
He puts it at the guy's feet. And that's what drives John Elway up a wall.
He puts it in front of his feet. I mean, it bounced before. It's not even like the guy could have made a sensational catch.
It was a grounder to short.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later in real time, the game's over and John Elway's hugging everyone on the sideline as well. He should be happy. I mean, it's a great thing. Then that is the enigma
That is Tim Tebow.
But having said that, didn't Tim Tebow have a pretty good game yesterday?
I thought
he had over 300 yards, right?
Look, he had a couple of bad throws. He only completed 10 passes. But he went for it. You saw how many yards.
Of course,
he threw for, right?
Yeah.
It's absurd. Right.
316.
Yeah.
I'm not Mr. Bible here, but I know for a fact that he writes John 316. Yeah. Not John Elway 316. But he writes John 316 on his eye black on his cheekbones every game.
Oh, I see.
It
so
is
he
the
made
most
a match.
Quoted.
Yeah.
I did my research.
It is.
I'm not, again, Mr. Bible.
Most quoted Bible passage of all time.
It is the most quoted
That's
Bible passage.
The For God so loved the world
time.
Passage.
It is the one that everyone puts up the signs in the end zone.
Yep.
From here. All the way back, God knows how many years. Yep.
316. Isn't that something?
316.
Right, we need to take a break, but when we come back, we do have to talk about overtime in that game because...
Yeah, and you need to explain the new rules to us because I'm not sure I got it from what the ref was telling me on the field yesterday.
Confusing thing ever. So we'll talk about that when we get back on the Kevin and B. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio with us talking about the NFL this past weekend.
Andrew's going through his Twitter feed during the song there, and that guy's the first guy to ever make fun of your ears, though, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
That guy that just wrote to you.
You know,
Nobody ever does that.
I love Twitter. I love people on Twitter. Don't we all?
Of course.
Twitter is the dumbing down of America in 140 characters or less. However, it is also genius because it lets you get in touch with whomever it is you want to get in touch with.
And it also lets us hear celebrities when they crack first. Like they crack on Twitter and you go, "All right, we're watching somebody melt."
Yep. Twitter has this, like, for example, I never understood the number of followers people had if they never gave anything back. Twitter a couple of weeks ago, you know how they have that suggestion side? You should follow.
Right.
It told me last week I should follow Chris Brown.
Yeah, well, okay.
So
why?
I don't know what I did wrong.
Uh-huh.
But why are you being punished?
Right. What did I do that made you think I wanted to follow Chris Brown? But I clicked on it regardless, not to follow, but to see his page.
Uh-huh.
He had, and this was 2 weeks ago, 6.5 million followers.
Sure.
Good for him.
Uh-huh.
He had, how many tweets do you think he had sent out over the life of his account? 6.5 million followers. Oh, you must be tweeting a lot to churn.
Yeah, I would think so.
6.5 million. 16.
That's all he
did. Oh, my
16
God.
Tweets.
16 total?
Now, this was 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
6.5 million followers.
They must be really good.
I didn't know Chris Brown had that many fans.
When I think Chris Brown, I think the former Padre third baseman.
Yeah, different guy.
That's
but
just
still.
Me. Never been
He's
in a car
He's got to be disappointing
Rihanna,
a lot of people.
Evidently. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I ever since, what's his name that is on 2.5 Men now? Ever since Ashton Kutcher had all those followers and I watched what he tweeted, I was like, okay, it's not about followers.
Am I the only guy that has never seen that show?
No, I haven't.
Never seen the show?
No.
Never.
I mean, I did see it with Charlie
CBS?
Sheen
yes.
way back when.
CBS? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't mean this as a bash to CBS, but other than 60 Minutes or a game... As God is my witness, I have not seen a show on CBS in 20 years.
Person That's what I always
Person
say.
Of interest.
How many times have you heard me say I don't watch anything
Person
on CBS
interest.
Except 60
that,
Minutes?
That is in no way bashing the network. They might be great shows. I'm just saying
it
that.
It is bashing the network,
I've
by the way.
Never
to say
seen
that you
a
don't
show
watch
the
any of their shows
Person
is bashing the network.
But then again, I watched Showtime last night, CBS property.
Sure.
And so, man, I watched
did
all
House
three of their
Lies?
Shows last
How great
night.
Was House of
I
Lies?
Did. I liked it.
Oh,
it's
I loved
promising.
It. Yeah.
I liked I don't know if I liked the whole time stop thing.
I loved it.
Really?
Yes. House of Lies was
This
great.
Is Showtime's formula, though, for Sunday night. Just everyone's
boobs.
A sex addict.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Just boobs.
Right? They go Shameless, right into House of Lies, right into...
In California.
Right, yeah.
Which finds a way to jump the shark after three episodes every season.
Yep.
It's the boob channel.
Three
There's
episodes.
No question about that.
That's all they take.
Let's get back
all
to
right.
sports. Denver Broncos, Pittsburgh Steelers go into overtime.
Yes,
How
sir.
Long have these overtime rules been in effect?
Right.
Because I was confused. I didn't even know there were different overtime rules.
This is the second season that these overtime rules have been in effect, but only for the playoffs. Last year, you didn't see them because no game went into overtime in the playoffs.
Regular season is normal.
Regular season is different.
I have some
Still
audio.
The old rules.
I have some audio of the explaining what the rule changes are so that we can all
Go
understand
ahead.
Exactly how this is supposed to play out in the playoffs.
Okay, man. In overtime, each team, timing is as if the game is over. With two exceptions. If the team, we are starting a new game. All set? Pardon me. Unique playoff rules. The game is over. If the team that gets the first possession scores a touchdown, we are starting a new game.
What does that mean?
Your choice. You call tails.
All right.
In overtime, if the team that gets the first possession scores a touchdown, the game is over. On defense, scores in any fashion. Otherwise, each team has to have the opportunity. It is heads, with two exceptions. What? Each team, timing is as if we're starting a new game.
I'm not sure the ref has a good grasp on.
He's talking to himself.
Game is over.
Well, you edited it. That's Ron Winter. You edited that. Come on now.
Just a little.
Come on now.
Omar played with it just a little.
Okay.
But the reality is the explanation of the overtime rules was way longer than the overtime.
It was.
That is true.
Overtime took 11 seconds. That took more than 11 seconds regardless of editing.
Can you boil that down to something
we
can understand?
I will do my best. And Ron Winter, you know, let me step back for a second. There have been some, over the years, Jeff Triplett, no names, there have been some notable overtime explanations from refs.
Right.
So there was a little bit of pressure on him.
Sure.
Knowing he's not only talking with the echo to an entire stadium, but an entire football world as well. And this is the first time these rules have come into effect.
Right.
He stumbled
through
it.
You're not boiling it down very quickly.
Okay. Here's the rule. Here's the rule. Each team gets a chance to possess the football.
And that's different because it used to be you win the flip.
Sudden death.
You get the football.
Sudden death.
First person to score.
First person to score in any way, shape, or form, you win the game. You flip a coin, see who kicks off. That's it. Period. This one is set up where it is supposed to be. Each team gets a chance to possess the football, the score. However, there are some exceptions. Exception number one, as we saw, if the team that gets the ball first scores a touchdown, the game is over.
Why doesn't the other team get a chance to score a touchdown?
That's not how the rule is written.
Well, that's stupid.
If the Broncos had kicked a field goal on that first possession last night,
they would win.
They would not win.
They would not win.
They would not win. The Steelers would have been given a chance to match that. If they had scored a touchdown, the Steelers had, after the Broncos had hypothetically kicked a field goal.
So
meaning
they scored more.
They scored more than the Steelers would have won. So each team got a chance.
Okay.
The Steelers, the second team, scored more in their chance, hence the game is over.
But the Steelers didn't get a chance.
No, because the Broncos scored a touchdown first in 11 seconds.
Let me ask.
There's more.
Ask
hold
you
on.
This
oh, there's more. Okay.
There's more.
There's
Sorry.
More.
Sorry.
If, let's say, because there are more loopholes here, they had kicked the ball to the Broncos, which is what happened. The Broncos, for whatever reason, had Tim Tebow run crazy zigzags like a cop on a freeway trying to clear it out in front of an accident.
Right.
And gone backwards into the end zone, and it had been a safety, like what we saw in the Atlanta game. The game would have been over.
What?
If there had been a safety on the first possession, the game would have been over.
But wouldn't the other team have had a chance to get a safety?
What? No. In essence, that would have been the Steelers' chance at possession, and they got 2 points out of it defensively. Here's another one.
All right.
If the Steelers, and this would have taken some cojones, but let's say the Steelers had gone onside kick to start the overtime.
Right.
And had gotten the ball, a successful onside kick, and then scored in any manner, the game would have been over.
What?
Because the Broncos would have been deemed to have had a chance at possession. In other words,
and they lost it on the onside kick. Oh,
it's the same as kicking it off and have Eddie Royal run it back to the 20 and fumble. I mean, it's the same. They fumbled their possession by not getting the onside kick.
Does that overtime, make sense? If the team that gets the first possession scores a touchdown, the game is over. On defense, scores in any fashion.
They might need
otherwise,
to.
Each team has to have the opportunity. It is heads, with two exceptions.
Stop! Come
each
on!
Team.
It is heads.
Stop!
With two exceptions. It is not heads with two exceptions. Come
Andrew,
on!
It was
Let me
just
ask you
about
this.
That bad.
What? We all saw what happened. We saw Mr. Tebow throw to Demaryius Thomas in an 80-yard run, and they win the game and all. Was that an error on Pittsburgh's behalf? Did they line up thinking, hey, we're protecting everything here because Tim can't pass? There's no way that this is gonna come back and bite us. Did they make a mistake?
Two things. Number one, he had completed balls downfield the entire game. So
True.
He had already shown that he could throw the ball downfield. Number two, what it was is they played the run. They simply played the run. You had a back. You had Willis McGahee back there. The Broncos, if my math is correct, had run the ball 10 consecutive first downs. So the trend was there. They're running the football. It looked like a running play. The safety, Ryan Mundy is his name, who lined up next to Ike Taylor. He bit. He played the run. He let Demaryius Thomas get behind him. And then Ike Taylor, the corner, He played him to the inside rather than to the outside.
God chose
when the safety wasn't there, boom, it was an easy throw. Tim Tebow stepped up, made that throw.
God made that safety move forward. Do you think he made him bite on the run?
I mean, this is a deep conversation because if the Lord is in us all, Kevin, doesn't he control all our actions?
That's my question.
Okay,
so does he not like Pittsburgh?
Well, there are a lot of people that don't like the Steelers.
Agreed.
I cannot speak,
I think God
for
spoke.
The Lord.
I think he spoke.
I cannot speak for the SNL bit a couple of weeks ago. Remember what they said. Tom Brady is likely the Lord's nephew. Right? And for all the reasons you listed earlier.
Sure.
Right. So this sets up an interesting battle.
So this weekend will prove who God's real favorite is.
Those are your words, not mine. We're
I
not,
hope that happens because I don't want to pay that listener.
It's not the 700 Club that I host. I can't answer.
We're out of time.
We're starting a new game.
We're out of time.
Out of time. You can see Andrew on NFL Total Access again this afternoon at 4 p.m. on the NFL Network. Listen, we have next Monday off because of the holiday, because of Dr. King.
Yes,
but we'd love to see you next Tuesday, Andrew, if you have time.
I would love to.
Recap the weekend's game. It'll be a lot of fun.
I would love to be.
Stupid. Thanks so much for coming.
You should have told him to come Monday. Come on. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:44.
Ralph Grumman, I forgot to tell you, I had a got together with some radio friends over the weekend, and like I do, and Moroccan Scott Cannon from K-Rock was over there.
He's
yeah,
awesome.
Moroccan Scott was there. He wanted me to tell you hello. He hadn't seen you in a while.
Love just Moroccan Scott Cannon.
Yeah, Moroccan Scott. He's the best. He's the best. All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now to end the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. What's going on?
I'm Batman.
Ralph has a, what is it?
Dave the King of Mexico just gave me my Christmas present. It's still Christmas here at the Kevin and Bean Show. And this finally came in. I finally got it. It is a Batman apron. Grilling apron that has the Dark Knight embossed upon it.
It's pretty good.
So when I wear the apron, I'm Batman.
Right, that's pretty good.
How do you like your burgers? I got one medium rare here.
Too understandable.
Cheese or no cheese?
You have to go much less understandable.
I'm going with Batman the Animated Series. That's my choice for this particular voice.
Not to hijack your Christmas gift, but Bean and his wife finally had Christmas, I was informed.
Oh, they did?
Yesterday.
Well, they're so busy, they couldn't possibly exchange gifts at Christmas.
And I would like Bean to tell you what he got as a gift.
I don't think this is about me. I don't want to take the spotlight off of Ralph's apron.
How excited he is about it.
Is it a sheep embryo embossed, encased in amber or something? Is it like that? Something
no. It's not gross.
Sick and creepy?
But it's not gross at all.
Something that he will never use in 1 billion years.
Q-tips.
I'm excited about it. I am excited about my
mirror
from my bride.
Say what it is.
She got me my own pair of roller skates.
Yay! The least coordinated, most awkward man on the earth on shoes that have wheels on them.
Correct. She wants him to die. We're going to go roller skating. Choice. She's hoping for him to get
you don't
his head.
Know, man.
She has chosen poorly.
And I said, that's the worst gift ever. And he's like, I'm excited.
I am looking forward to
he's
going roller
skating. He's not looking forward to
I
going
haven't gone roller skating since the last time we had a Kevin and Bean singles party
I
at a roller skating
I know very
rink.
Little about you. I know that you are not excited about going roller skating.
I think it's going to be fun.
It'd be like putting an ostrich on roller skates. It'd be the same effect. Just feathers and legs going everywhere. That's all you'd see.
Has she upped your life insurance policy in the last month or two?
I might want to check on that. That's a good point.
You're a goner. All right, let's talk about Pillars of the Earth, okay? Real quickly. Let's recap Pillars of the Earth, the conversation we had last hour. We were talking about Gemma Arterton.
Yes.
And the fact that she had extra fingers when she was born. She had 12 fingers. The extra two were removed when she was a baby.
Okay.
So that led us into her body of work, and we were trying to name the miniseries The Pillars of the Earth.
Yes. Right.
Turns out there was such a miniseries once we accomplished the coming up with the name.
Which took a half hour.
Gemma Arterton was not in that.
Not in it.
However, Hayley Atwell, another beautiful and talented British actress who was recently seen in Captain America the First Avenger, was in that. And there you go. That
and how many toes or fingers does she have?
As far as I know, her toes and fingers are completely just average.
Do I get a refund for my time that happened last hour?
I absolutely will give you. I will cook you up a bat burger on the grill. How about that?
All right.
All right, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Devil Inside, a surprising number one victory this weekend, made $34.5 million.
This is what I love about Hollywood, by the way. They got all these experts, all these high-priced people that work for the movie companies that make their predictions. And I think they underestimated this by more than 100% what it actually ended up making at the box office.
Yeah, it was
insane.
It was not. Everyone thought Ghost Protocol would be number one again this week.
Well, but you know what happens is it gets bad reviews. But a lot of people don't pay attention to
it. It was a very effective advertising campaign, I'll tell you that much. The stuff they showed on television in the trailer and stuff, it was very compelling.
I went. I loved it.
In fact, Kevin, I think if I remember your tweet correctly, from 1 to 10,
yes.
You gave it a...
A holy sh...
Holy crap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is better than a 10.
Out of 1 to 10, I give it a holy crap, Kevin said.
Oh, that was a little confusing.
That was a moment with Kevin being tweeted. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was number two at the box office. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows was third. Then Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked. That made the top five. War Horse, We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and New Year's Eve were the rest of the top 10 on the list. Speaking of movies, my eyes are still bleeding. I hadn't seen this until last night. But have you seen the commercial for this thing they're calling A Joyful Noise?
Oh,
does
yeah.
this no. look like the worst movie ever made?
Oh, you mean Glee Part 2, that one?
Where Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton are competing to see who will be the head of their choir?
Yes. That's real.
That happened!
That exists.
I thought maybe it was a fever dream. No. Maybe the Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah were finally teaming up on the big screen.
Nope.
We live in dark, dark times, my friend. Dark, dark times. Selena Gomez, she will be safe for 3 years at least anyway. A judge ordered her stalker Thomas Brodnicki to stay away from the Disney Channel star. He's not allowed to contact her in any way. Another judge dropped a felony stalking charge against Brodnicki because prosecutors couldn't prove that Selena was actually afraid of him. What do you think?
What?
She actually kind of dug it? But the other judge, this current judge, said that Selena had a reasonable cause to be afraid. Especially because Brodnicki threatened to kill her while police had him on a psychiatric hold. I think that would do it.
While in police custody?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, plenty of witnesses to that there. Congratulations to Beyonce and Jay-Z. They're no longer just megastars. Now they're mega parents.
Do we know that?
Their daughter came into the world last Saturday night at the Lenox Hill Hospital. They rented out the entire floor of the hospital to keep things private. $1.3 million price tag, put it on that. Next time you're thinking about renting out the entire floor of a hospital, you'll have something to go by.
Who's ever thought of that?
Well, you know. Some of you have your tonsils out or something. You want a little privacy? The baby's name? Blue Ivy.
Blue Ivy.
Carter. Blue Ivy.
So you're saying Blue Ivy.
Sounds like a nail polish color.
Is the name of a kid.
That is the child's name.
Okay.
Not that they will do it or need the money, but whatever they paid to get the security in that hospital, they could more than make up for with selling baby photos if they wanted.
Yeah. Well, like you said, they really don't need the money.
Yeah.
Apparently, Ryan Seacrest doesn't need the money either. $15 million a year contract this weekend at the television... Critics of Association gathering, the tour where they bring out all the people from the networks and talk about the upcoming season. Questions were asked about Ryan's contract. He's in the last year of his contract with American Idol, getting $15 million per year. And they asked the president of Fox, are you going to re-up the contract? And he said, well, as we know, it's a much harder job than meets the eye. It's very hard to imagine Idol without Ryan. We certainly want to keep him. Leaving people to believe maybe they're going to pay that price tag to hold on to him.
That's code for if he'll take less money, we'd be happy to have him.
Maybe. Ryan has said he can't imagine life without American Idol. I'd like to see both end.
That's what I.
So we'll see what happens. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Nina Dobrev from the Vampire Diaries is 23 years old today. Catherine, the Duchess of Cambridge. She used to be just Kate Middleton. Now she's a duchess. How times change. She's 30 years old. AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is 34. Pro BMX rider Matt Hoffman is 40 years old today. Joey Lauren Adams from Chasing Amy fame is 44 years old. Dave Matthews turns 45. Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth is 45 years old today. Smash Mouth still together? Are they still rocking?
I don't know.
I think so. They haven't put out any records in a while, but I do think you occasionally can catch them on tour.
J.K. Simmons or Simons is 57 years old. He, of course, from Law & Order and Oz and Spider-Man. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin fame is 68 years old today. And Hathaway
Singer Hathaway.
His second hit, which was
This Is Love.
What?
This Is Love. I think the second one was called This Is Love. This Is Love. That was love. Could be love.
Remember
the whole album like that. It was just a bunch of questions. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I hear from the King of Mexico that he has a new Clipper song that we're going to hear tomorrow.
I love the Clappers.
As you know, he loves the Clappers.
I love Blick Graffin.
He does love Blick. And he's got a new song every year. Filled with hope. Yeah, he's got a new song.
I love his songs.
This year, he's got something to be pretty happy about with Chris Paul. So we'll hear that tomorrow. We'll also have Tom Morello on the program tomorrow. He's got a comic book signing that he wants to tell you about.
Yeah, great comic book, by the way. Orchid. I've read the first couple issues. It's fantastic.
Is there nothing he can't do?
You're not just saying that because he's a friend of the show, right?
It's enormously entertaining, and I will continue to read the series after that. I read it initially just because he's going to be on. I said, I'm a comic book guy. I should probably find out what's up. But it's really compelling stuff.
And speaking of things that Ralph's excited about, we have Jared and Brandy.
Oh, come on!
From Storage Wars.
Yep.
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 Love Storage Wars. I couldn't be less interested.
I love Storage Wars like Jared loves safes.
Is that a lot?
Oh, when he opens up one of those storage lockers, he sees a safe in there. He's got a bid on that lot because he needs to open that safe and see what's in there.
Yep.
Then Dave Hester comes along and tries to ruin it for him.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. That's
a lot of drama.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.